in less than an hour, aircraft from here will join others from around the world. And you will be launching the largest aerial battle in the history of mankind. Mankind, that word should have new meaning for all of us today. We can't be consumed by petty differences anymore. We will be united in our common interest. Perhaps faith today is the 4th of July. And you will once again be fighting for our freedom. Not from tyranny, oppression, or persecution. But from annihilation. We're fighting for our right to live. To exist. And should we win the day, the 4th of July will no longer be known as an American holiday. As the day when the world declared in one voice, we will not go quietly into the night. We will not vanish without a fight. We're going to live on. We're going to survive. Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
From the 905 Geek Studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio, this is the Rick Emerson Show.
That's my fault. I take all the blame for that. I completely choked on the speech today. Sarah was right there like a hammerhead shark waiting offshore, waiting to zoom in with the Independence Day. Oh, to have a webcam today. Okay, so during the entire Independence Day speech, you missed Sarah over there. I mean, really, like she was just trying to scrub the cloth off of the chair. And you're not... What are you scrubbing it with? Is it like a baby wipe?
Yeah, it's like some kind of...
I don't think that works on...
You know,
fabric.
Anything to get rid of the smell.
Oh, nothing's going to get rid of that smell.
If only for a moment.
And it's sticking to my clothes, and I'm going to wear these clothes, I'm going to smell like it.
Now you're going to smell like a Lysol wipe covered in stink.
You're going to smell like a board off.
You're going to smell like a weekender. You'd really be better off... just taking those Lysol things and then wadding them up and jamming them into your nostrils. Because that is at least going to get out the... It's like that scene in Silence of the Lambs when they have that, you know, they have, what's her name, the floater? The girl who was in her, you know, looking at that corpse that's all decayed because it's in the river. And they're doing the autopsy. And Scott Glenn puts that menthol stuff underneath his nostrils so that he's not gagged by the smell. Really, you should just do that when you come in here.
I have a really good smelling chapstick I could smear underneath.
That's what I would do right there. I won't tell anybody. I try to clean that chair over there with one of those little handy wipe things. That's bailing out the ocean with a teacup. That's not going to have any effect at all.
It's never smelled this bad before. But I think Tim says it usually gets stuck with
the best part is listening to your dissertation as the program began about which of the people here at CBS Radio Portland you suspect don't ever wear deodorant or antiperspirant, which are two different things, often confused. Anyway. All right. Why, hello. It's 4 minutes and 18 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of July in the year of our Lord, 2007. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. You're really doing it. That's pretty impressive. Chapstick underneath the nostrils. Now, is that a minty? Is that like a Blistex kind of a...
Yeah, it's kind of minty.
There you go.
That is better.
See, that's what I'm saying. The key is to just cover up the funk. You're never going to get the weekend, the part-timers, you're never going to get them to be clean people. You know what I mean? It's just something in the... It's something in the weekender culture. I don't really know what it's about. And I think that there is some sort of magic wand that gets waved. I think when you become become a weekday employee, somehow you magically be... It's like you're given... It's like when a house elf is given clothes. Somehow you're just given soap. It's like being given a key to the executive washroom. You're just given some kind of cleaning agent. Well, whatever. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to join us today with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, your what have you, Scotty J is waiting by, eagerly anticipating your call so that he might pass them along to us with your observations about the groundbreaking, the exciting, the tedious, or the mundane. 503 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick at rickemerson.com. Rick at rickemerson.com. Sarah at 970.am. Tim at 970.am. Or Scotty J at 970.am. And again, the phone number is 503-733-2970. Speaking of Sarah, who is just... And you know what you looked like, right? Just before the program... Not only were you scrubbing off your chair, but you were just going after the just going after the counter with one of those things too. You kind of looked like Jack Nicholson in As Good as It Gets when he was washing his hands for the 900th time that day, or one of those guys who ends up in the post-traumatic stress disorder ward of a veterans hospital. One of those, you know, the dirt won't come off. You know, one of those guys is just in the corner trying to get invisible bunnies off of him. So I'm just saying.
I'm a little crazy today.
That's okay. Tim did note, and this is a true. If you worked in radio back in the day, as they say, or if you work in radio now, but you have been a radio employee for some time, the one thing I will say. Is that the number and type and variety of cleaning products has really improved over the years. Because it used to be, because now we have, like, the Lysol wipes, which is what you're using. We have the Purell hand lotion. Everybody knows what a freak for that stuff I am. I mean, I'm just putting Purell on my hands all the time, just day and night. I mean, I probably don't even have skin left on my hands. I mean, I probably just worn it all away with Purell. But there used to be this time in radio when the only thing that you had, and every studio had this, was just a huge can of aerosol Lysol.
We used to spray the morning man's clothes with it. When he leave his jacket, when he leave to go to the restroom, spray the seat of his chair and his coat, hoping it might help.
It never does.
Even this is back in the 70s. It's back in the early days of smelly people.
You would just come in, and I was the worst about it. I would just come in and I would just layer, just like the Americans going in and napalming Da Nang. I would just layer the entire studio with it. Every exposed surface, every piece of clothing, every chair, every button, every knob, and every dial. I would just go through and then I would go back and wipe it off. Not that I was a germaphobe, but just the people who work in radio are filthy.
No, I mean, way back when, it was a combination of, smoke from camels and flatulence.
like the new exciting Sunday morning show had been broadcast directly from someone's colon. Yeah, wonderful. Except but then occasionally you would see this, and the engineers always loved to see this, by the way. You know, we ought to just have segments like this that we call Only for Craig Adams. But the engineers would see this happen, though, at least once a week. You would, and let me just tell you this right now. This microphone that I'm speaking to you through right here, this electronic transducer, this is the Electrovoice RE20, the finest microphone known to man. This microphone, and I'm not saying this to talk about how great and cool we are. I'm just saying broadcasting microphones are, it's not like the microphone that you plug into your handy cam at home. This is like a $900 microphone that I'm talking to. This microphone costs more than my first two cars. And every so often, when you were working in broadcasting studios, up until like probably 10, 12 years ago, the engineers would walk by the studio at least once a week, and they would see a guy holding a microphone, and he would be holding the can of Lysol about an inch away, and just right into the microphone. I mean, just directly into a $1,000 piece of equipment. Just right into there. And I mean, then he would just sort of grit his teeth and walk on by. All right. Well, hello. It's Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. I haven't even talked about Tim's coffee cup. I haven't even talked about the fact. Was it you just a couple days ago?
That was me.
Okay, this is the final radio filth story, I swear to God. I got to get them all over for the lunch hour.
We've all been a victim.
No, it's true. And it probably happens where you work as well. It's just that radio stations, unlike a lot of businesses, are open 24 hours a day. We never close. There's always, even in this era of automation and syndication and consolidation, there's always a couple people floating around the building. So but of course, late at night, early in the morning, it's the perfect storm because there's a few people here, but they're completely unsupervised, and they're usually just, they're just animals. And so, I mean, it really is true. And so Tim goes into the kitchen the other day. I have a coffee cup that I use. It is my coffee cup. It says Rick on the bottom of it in ink. I got a special Sharpie. It can't be washed away. It's dishwasher proof. And you know what? I don't clean my coffee cup as often as I should, but you know what? No one else uses it. And I, unlike a lot of people, I have a door that I can lock stuff behind. I have an office, and a lot of people don't. So I feel comfortable about using it even if I don't wash it every day because I go and put it on my desk. The door is locked. No one can touch it, to the best of my knowledge. Tim actually does not have a dedicated coffee cup, though. Tim uses the styrofoam coffee cups in the kitchen, and you would think that that is the more sanitary choice. You would say to yourself, well, there's a big pile of disposable styrofoam coffee cups. I'll just use those because they're guaranteed to be clean. Except last Thursday, Tim goes into the kitchen, and it was the look on your face. It was as though someone had offered you a spoonful of maggots for breakfast. The look on your face that you pulled one of the styrofoam cups out of the, you know, off the pot, off the stack to use. And there was a big lipstick trace around it.
But I didn't notice it till I was halfway done my cup of coffee.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you'd used it.
Yeah, because I walked all the way back in here with it.
Oh.
And I had a few sips of coffee till it. What's this? I have a coffee. This lipstick on this cup.
That's like biting into an apple and finding half a worm.
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. Excellent. Okay. It's 503-733-2970. I feel better. 503, who feels better? Everybody? Sarah?
Well, for now.
Sarah doesn't feel better. Sarah's in a bad mood today, so everybody should walk a little lightly. Here's the best thing to do with Sarah when she's in a bad mood. Sarah, cheer up! Come on! Smile!
And then
be
give
happy.
Me a hug.
Yeah, and then forcibly hug her. Yes, and then shave her head. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what's coming up today, my friends. We'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Amanda Moyer real briefly. We'll check in with everybody's favorite guy, Michael Vick, who the only reason we're going to check in is because I think he's been told not to show up to training camp because I think he's at court today. And it is. I will be interested to see if, because those, the PETA, you know what the PETA guys are like, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals? The PETA guys are sort of like, I was about to make another Harry Potter reference, but I should probably scale those back. The PETA guys are sort of like mob enforcers. They're like the Luca Brasi of the political world. You don't really want to hang out with them. They're not all that, you know, they're not all that civil and social. Like, you don't want to spend a lot of time with PETA people. They're kind of humorless and joyless most of the time. But you know what? When certain things need to be done, they're the ones who will do it. When there's certain just unpleasant, just gutter-level tasks that need to be taken care of, the PETA guys, I mean, because they're crazy, they'll take care of that. And so I have a feeling that Michael Vick is finding that out as his day goes on. And so we're going to check in and find out the latest with him. I don't think they're talking about the NBA thing today, unfortunately, which is, it's too bad, actually, because so rarely do I have sports-related questions, but maybe we'll just ask the people, because I really do have a lot of things that I'm curious about in terms of the NBA and this game-fixing thing. We'll talk to CNN Radio correspondent Lisa Goddard, who will try to win back the love of the audience, which she lost yesterday by revealing that she read the last page of the Harry Potter book first. Today, we will have a glorious top five. Top five musical acts that Scotty J is seen at a state fair. What else do we have coming up? We'll have that Death Cat story that you're probably already sick of, but we kind of got to talk about it because it's like the most forwarded story in the history of the internet or something already today. So we'll talk about that. I have to say this though, and if you know the story I'm talking about, you may have already seen this. Fox News of all people, they actually had a great headline for this Death Cat story today. So we'll talk about that. What else? Oh, and Will Wheaton speaks, and you will listen. That's pretty much it. It's 503-733-2970, and it is Relatable Thursday, so I hold in my hand local news stories that we'll talk about in just a second. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Why, hello, how are you?
Good. You know why I'm angry.
Oh, I do indeed. You seemed a little peeved when I came in, and the news that then sent you over the edge, I think you discovered while I was sitting here in the room, because you kind of went, and you just sort of seized up.
Yeah, kind of a stressful morning. I didn't sleep very well last night, and then Muppet, I let him out in my backyard, and I heard him, you know, yapping away like he does, and right. I'm like, okay, everything's fine. I'm in my kitchen. All of a sudden, it's silent, and I'm like, what's going on here? And I hear a horn, a car in the front of my house honking and being like, what are you doing in the road? Get out of the road. Muppet had somehow snuck through the fence.
Oh.
Some ass had left the side fence out. He got out, and he was running around in the front yard.
Oh, but he's okay.
He's fine. He's all fine. Right. But I'm like in boxer shorts and a wife beater. I'm like running down the street.
Oh,
like,
freak you out. Oh,
I know.
Yeah.
And it was fine. He wasn't in the street. He's actually trained pretty well. But he was like standing. He kept running up to the edge of the sidewalk and like running out. Oh, I was panicking.
Oh, that's bad.
That was kind of a huge adrenaline rush this morning.
At least he's not as dumb as my dog.
No, that's the one thing. That's the one thing that Muppet does. He sits on the corners. That's the only thing he can do. He's loud and he's stinky, but.
No. Max somehow interprets the oncoming sound of cars as the all clear signal. And if I had a nickel for every time I'm standing there on the side of the, you know, waiting to walk him, and he hears a car and just leaps And it's like, if I didn't have the leash, like, locked, I mean, right in front of, like, a truck. I mean, that's, you know, so. Mm. Well, that's good. So I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, he's fine. And then my lazy ass drove to work. And then I got some very disturbing news.
We'll come back to that in just a moment. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today.
I had a weird dream last night that Sarah Dillon dyed my hair blue and red.
Well, now we have to
really?
Do it.
I'm serious.
Now we have to do it to see if it's just as weird in reality. Now, was it in stripes?
Yeah,
do you remember?
Yeah, it was like half and half.
It was in stripes, and then she gave me cornrows.
So was each cornrow a different color?
I kind of looked like a modern-day Farina.
Okay, please now, someone to be photoshopping Tim Riley with red, what, red and blue?
Uh-huh.
Red and blue cornrows.
That's awesome.
Please. I don't know how I agreed to it.
Oh, well, we'll find out what it's going to look like. So we will, let's
please,
see.
Please, so I can make it on my space.
What do we have here? You know what? I will, I think I'm going to do this. Susan will let me know if I can't. I think we have these. I will then offer an exciting limited edition AM 970 shirt to the first person today who can send us a
decent size.
A decent postable Photoshop of Tim Riley with red and blue cornrows.
I'll find a picture of Tim's face and then put it on my blog.
I don't know what led up to that.
Really, there's no possible explanation. Really, what explanation could you have given that would make sense?
I have no idea.
There's none. So that's Rick at RickEmerson.com, the first, and we will be the sole judges of this, but the first decent picture we get of Tim Riley with blue and red photoshopped cornrows. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. That puts a smile on everybody's face. I don't care how bad
it was. So staggering, I woke up out of a sound. Say, this has to be a dream.
You wake up in a cold sweat.
No!
Rosebud! Yes. Excellent. Wonderful.
Some of the stories. A madman hit four police cars during a chase through Southeast early this morning. From the world of medicine, experts reveal obesity is contagious. And a cure for the common itch is being studied. Someone from OK Magazine will be here to talk about the Britney interview.
Fantastic.
A woman is banned from Walmart for life. Bored, unappreciative, and hopeless American workers waste 20% of the day on company time.
Well, I'm surprised it's only, that's the 20% that they can find or that people will admit to. It's way more than that. All right, let's see, what do we have here? Well, you just said a madman hit a car?
Yes.
Well, it's not madman, Tim, but let's talk a little bit about Mad Men.
Oh, that's on tonight.
Now, it was on last night. See, that's what I thought, too.
I thought the new ones are on tonight.
Well, now I don't even know, because Dennis Miller was talking about at the end of this this last hour. He was talking about, watch this show, Chachi, called Mad Men, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, now I don't even know whether it was on last night or not.
It might have been on last night, but it might have been the first one.
Now, here's how I know it wasn't the first one. Now, see, I'm getting ahead of myself. I do have a point with all of this, by the way. We're leading up to something. There's this great new show, and I'm not saying it's like the best show ever, but it is real, because I've only seen the pilot, and I cut pilots a lot of slack, but pilots are typically kind of crap. But it's a great show on AMC called Mad Men, and it's kind of all my favorite things at once. It's Madison Avenue culture, it's advertising culture, and it takes place sort of the end of the Eisenhower era. I think it's in 60 or 61 that it takes place. Great color scheme, too. Just a beautiful color palette on that show. But it's about the advertising the world on Madison Avenue at the turn of the 60s, 50s into the 60s. And the pilot episode was really great, and I think the second episode, I think it was last night. But I don't really know. And here's how I judge that. Because I don't ever look at the TiVo or check out. I don't watch TV at all in the morning because I usually wake up so late that I just, you know, barely get it by the skin of my teeth, as my mom used to say. But I did notice on the way out the door that the cable box was on channel 60, which means the last thing the TiVo had recorded was on channel 60. And I think channel 60 is AMC, but I don't really know that that's true or not. Well, whatever. Anyway,
I know 61's VH1.
See, now I'm completely.
It says here Thursday at 10 p.m.
Okay, so it's tonight. So the pilot may have re-aired last night. I don't know if anybody noticed this.
Episode 2, ladies.
Watching the pilot for Mad Men. First of all, I mean, cable and broadcast television, as they say, which is network television, NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC. There's two different sets of rules there as far as profanity goes, because the FCC can never make up their mind about what the hell they're doing. So if you watch AMC or you watch Comedy Central or FX, you'll notice there's a lot of profanity that they get away with. And Sal was making up some observation on the Dennis Miller show to the effect that you can't say the F word on basic cable, you can only say the S word, which is entirely non-true. Because A, If you watch Comedy Central, you'll note that every now and again, Comedy Central plays the South Park movie uncut, entirely uncut. And you will notice that on the AMC premiere, the pilot episode of Mad Men, the guy full-on said the F-word. He like said it as the main character returning and walking down the hall. The guy turns and walks down the hall, and the sort of weaselly underling said something like, F you, like under his breath, but very audible as the guy walked down the hall. So it's kind of weird to think that just a couple years ago, like, you couldn't even say, like, bastard or whatever. And now there's guys on basic cable saying, like, the full-on F-word. It's just it's a strange world we're living in. So Mad Men is tonight. You really ought to try to watch it. It's a great show. And then the other show that everybody's talking about, which I have not seen, I know it's a recurring theme in this program that I'm just falling farther and farther behind with my television literacy. The only consolation here is that I don't think it's just me. I think that as a culture, what is the dumbest metaphor I can come up with? You know what it is? We're like polar bears on individual ice floes, drifting farther and farther apart from each other with every passing snow season. Because the number of things that there are to watch and the number of available options is just so massive and endless and limitless. The odds that we're all going to be watching the same programs, I mean, that time's never going to come again. The days when we all sat around on Thursdays and watched Welcome Back, Kotter as a Nation, that time has passed. So, this other show that everybody's talking about is Damages on FX with Glenn Close, which a lot of people are saying, well, it's going to be the best show that FX has ever had, which, I mean, Rich really is saying something because FX has The Shield. But apparently this Damages show with Glenn Close, who I love, who's a great actress, is really, really strong. And I got to do the whole Geek Patrol is on my back telling me I got to watch it. So we'll see about that. Before we get into the disproportionate rage that Sarah Dillon is feeling about a television show this morning, let me just read two conflicting emails.
Oh, come on. I listened to you talk about The Sopranos for like 2 weeks.
I'm not saying it's...
I think that if people hear this, they will...
Defensive.
I'm so angry.
I understand your disproportionate rage. I alone. This program is the only place you won't be laughed at for it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying... Look, I did like 4 hours on the pronunciation of a fictitious Frenchman yesterday. Belloc and Raiders of the Lost Ark. So let me just read these two conflicting emails about a television program, and then we'll talk about why Sarah's so pissed off today. We've got this. Rick, shameless plug time, says our good friend Matt Haley. The second season of Who Wants to Be a Superhero airs its premiere episode tonight at 9 p.m. on the Sci-Fi Channel, with artwork once again by me, Matt Haley. We have a disproportionately large number of comic book artists. I mean, real, like, serious, full-on, famous comic book artists who listen to this show, which is great. So tonight, the second season of Who Wants to Be a Superhero airs with artwork by one of our listeners, Matt Haley. He says it's kind of like... let's see, he said, I'd appreciate it if you'd watch. I'd really love for people to come back to another season to draw even more bizarre people competing against each other, blah, blah, blah. So, Matt Haley, a good friend of ours, a listener of ours, does artwork for Who Wants to Be a Superhero. That's on tonight, which was immediately followed up by this email. Rick, Who Wants to Be a Superhero starts season 2 on Sci-Fi tonight, and they're running the first season as I write this. Why in the hell would Stan Lee ever do this? The superheroes all seem like terrible, conceited, selfish, egotistical, narcissistic bastards who really want to be actors, and the dialogue is terrible and embarrassing. Just wondering if anybody is watching this. It'd be cool if you watch the season premiere tonight and comment on how god-awful it is. So there you go. So you got two reasons to watch it. Either it's great or it's embarrassing and god-awful. It does seem like a little bit of a win-win scenario. All right. And let's see. Before we do... Okay, so then we'll kind of clarify a few other things. We'll break and we'll do all of that. But before that... So I come in this morning, and this is a way to wind up this whole television discussion we've opened the program with. So I come in this morning, and Sarah was, you know, kind of into the, you know, the interwebs, doing her email and the blog and so forth, and obviously was just sort of focused. And then I'm kind of sitting here just typing away, one of those rare moments when I wasn't running behind the entire day. So I'm sitting here, and I'm sort of planning out what we're going to do in the day's program. And then Sarah, out of nowhere, just this, like, volcanic, like apoplectic rage just boils over out of her into the air around me for no real reason. And it's all because why, Sarah?
Because Michael is coming back to Lost.
And so Michael is He is the black man with the sun.
With Walt.
With Walt. Listen to the way you spit out his name angrily.
Walt is just creepy. Oh.
Now, is it that you hate the actor or you hate the character?
I don't like the actor. The character is one of the most despicable characters on television.
Now, do you not like the character because you feel he's just a badly done character, or is he a terrible person?
He is so frustrating, and all he does is yell, and he... Okay, if you don't want to know how the end of season two... Tune out.
Well, I don't feel bad about spoiling that because the end of season three has already happened.
Okay.
So go ahead and spoil it. I don't care.
So Michael disappears after his son Walt is taken by the others.
Yes, which is a bunch of rednecks on a boat.
Yeah, and so he returns back to camp, all beaten and bruised, saying that, you know, that they're not what they seem, whatever. Comes back, kills two of the main characters, brings four of the other people over, turns them into the others just so he can trade them in for his annoying son, and they can ride off into the sunset in a boat.
The best part is how you're angry that he did all of this to rescue his son.
If anyone has watched it, Michael is the most unlikable character. He's just scandalous and he's annoying.
Did you think the character was gone?
I thought he was gone.
Because I haven't watched anything past mid of season two.
Yeah, because he leaves. Him and Walt sail off into the sunset as everyone else is bound and gagged, sitting on the boat, and they're trapped by these people. And he traded all of his friends in just so he can get his son.
Now, how did you find out that the character of Michael is coming back in season four?
I just saw it on the internet.
Oh, was it leaked? Was it a spoiler?
Yeah, they're supposed to do it at Comic-Con, but...
Somebody leaked the word?
Yes, but, yeah, it's returning.
Is it true that you wrote an entire angry blog posting this morning about the character of Walt returning to Lost? Is it true that did the subject line to this post have the F word about four different times?
No, it just says I'm reasonably angry about this.
Okay, you really are, too.
Man, it was just one of those things where it was kind of a relief because how you were saying how some of the characters are very unbearable to watch.
Well, I got to tell you that is the character of Michael to you on Lost, is he to you like Michelle Rodriguez was to me?
Yes.
Because she's the reason I quit watching. Really, truth be known.
Well, then maybe you'll love Michael because he kills her.
Oh, well done, Michael. Fantastic. No, I mean, the show did sort of wear its premise a little thin with me, and I felt the writing was getting a little hodgepodge, as they say. But really, the straw that broke the Lost watching camel's back with me was Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, her tough girl cop thing was
she
a little
was
hard.
So, well, it's the same character she plays in every role. She's like a 3-foot-high... tiny little girl who can somehow punch guys that are like 400 pounds and knock them out. And then she's like, you know, she's like a badass from the streets or whatever. And she's just so irritating. She's a terrible actress. The character was annoying. And Michelle Rodriguez is really one of the reasons that I quit watching that show. So if Michael actually kills her, then I might root for him at this point.
Imagine a crazed man who all he cares about is like, I just want to find my son. I just want to find my son. Where's Walt? And he says Walt as many times as you said bacon the other day on the show. He says Walt like 100 times a half an hour. It is so infuriating. So I'm hoping that maybe something bad has happened to him and like... Yeah, and
he's come back without an eye or something.
Well, I'm going to be really pissed if like he comes back and he's going to be one of the others and be some big power player. I hope that something. Ugh.
This is the best part was we were getting ready to do the show. Sarah was still, I mean, not that I wasn't listening, but I was also doing some other stuff. But it was just like one long screed just going on in the background here as we were getting ready to do the show. And the best.
But when I was reading my scenario, the only way that it would be okay if Michael came back
is if he'd eaten his son at sea. That was the only way that you would find it acceptable.
Unless Michael was trapped with Walt on the boat and the other sent him way on after betraying his friends. When he was lost at sea and Walt died, Michael had to eat him, therefore staying alive longer only to drift back to the island that he'd escaped from. And then when they see him, they shoot him and he dies.
Fantastic. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yeah, hey, I have a comment about Lost.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out, since you're talking about it, the genius thing about Lost, especially in the first season, is, for example, every time it's starting to fade away, they hook you back in. You know, it kind of gets weak, and then it gets, boom, strong again. Are you following me on this?
Yeah. Totally.
Okay. Example, the first half of season one, they were ending every episode with this sort of musical montage, and it got really cliche after a while.
Right.
And then there was one episode where the music stops, you go to Hurley, and his CD player ran out of batteries.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And that was one of those little things that's like, oh, thank you, directors, thank you, producers, thank you, writers, for giving me that, because that hooked me right back in and made me have faith. Anyway, I hate Walt, I hate Michael. They should show up as corpses.
Excellent.
That's what I'm hoping.
Thank you. Bye now. Well, maybe it's a reverse spoiler. Maybe it's not really the case. Maybe it's a fake leak.
I
know, I just like the fact that you're so angry about it. No, see, this is now do you understand why?
I've been running down the hall yelling your name as like a freako.
Michael, coming back to Lost! Kill me now! You're just all like disproportionately enraged about it.
Well, and Walt, his son, is equally as curious. At least Walt disappeared for like an entire season.
Yeah, I gotta tell you this. Any program where...
With a child, Walt is special.
A disproportionate amount of the screen time is spent on some charmed little child who can communicate with the dead or see some... And, you know, the kids are always imbued with some special power that nobody appreciates. And the kid always... And can I just tell you this? Let me just say this. And I know that this will sound unfeeling. The only... Tim is sort of smiling. The only thing worse is when there's a television program... And it's not always a kid, but it's usually a kid, in which there will be a character, again, often a child, who is, mentally retarded, and will have some horribly irritating personality trait or tic, or will do something like smearing itself with its own filth or something, but then later they discover that he's, you know, that even though he's autistic and blind and hobbles around on a peg leg, he's communicating with ghosts that we can't, and so which then requires him to be on the show, like, for the rest of time. It's like I'm saying elsewhere they did it all the time, where Donald Westfall's kid was an autistic and was always coming in and, like, he would come into the OR and, like, throw a baseball at one of the doctors while he was performing heart surgery or something, but then they ended up having to keep him on because it was a whole thing.
You totally feel my pain.
Oh, I do. No, well, I understand.
Oh, man, just, like, hearing that kid's name, and then he was creepy because he's one of those people that would, like, apparate. He'd, like, all of a sudden be standing there, you know, because Walt was taken at sea. And
did you just say he would apparate?
Yes.
Nerd.
I know. And okay. He'd just be standing there in the middle of, like, a tent, and he'd be dripping wet, and just kind of be... He'd come out of nowhere, and he was so creepy.
Yeah.
And then
the fact that Michael makes you so angry, though, maybe he's really a well-done character. If you're responding this strongly to a fictional character.
That's very true. He's a very despicable, unlikable person. He's like, I just had to do what I had to do for my son. My son. And so they had to kill, you know, throw like 8 people to the wolves.
The best part is that I know your anger is increased because he did it for a child. The fact that he did all these things for his son, I know, is really what pushes you over the edge.
No, it's not just for his son, but it was just so selfish because these people that he's, that he turned in, they kept him alive. And they went to actually help him look for his son.
You know, if only the producers could hear you getting this angry about the character's actions.
I know, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I sound like a crazy person.
Well done. 503-733-2970. My final thought is I can never truly hate that actor. Because he was on an HBO program called Oz. He played a guy named Augustus Hill on Oz, and that's kind of who he always is when I see him.
Oh, you know who he is to me? He's the guy from Romeo and Juliet. He was a Capulet, and he was all fancy-free and wore, like, a bunch of pink lipstick and was annoying even back then.
So filled with contempt. All right, take a break here. We'll come back. Scotty J has a request of us. Scotty J has a task for us to do when we get back. And then we'll have Lisa Goddard at 11:45. Tim Riley with the new News Hour at noon. You're like angrily twisting your jewelry
talking about Lost so much.
No, it's funny.
It was like 15 minutes.
Really, have you ever listened to me and how I spend the first 15 minutes talking about bacon or some crap? That's okay. It kept us from talking about IKEA yet again, which I've got right here. IKEA, and apparently sexual harassment is rampant in public schools. Hey, did you know that rape is sexual harassment? Just in case you weren't clear about that. This is from Harassment Free Hallways, a 2000 report from the American Association of University Women Education Foundation. What is sexual harassment in school? Sexual harassment includes such behavior as off-color jokes, unwanted touching, sexual assault, and rape. Well done. All right, back after this. Here's the Rick Emerson. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. This email says, Rick, can you find a soundbite of Michael just shouting Walt off YouTube or something and just play it over and over and over again today? That would be hilarious, he says. Yes, it would.
No.
Well, we'll look for it. Scotty? No. I wouldn't even know how to YouTube for Michael shouting Walt. Rick, about Michael and his son on Lost and Sarah's hatred. Yes, that guy's annoying, and his kid even more so. Let me just say from a position of knowledge, sons are not always what they're cracked up to be. Don't use my real name, he says. Ha ha. Okay. What else do we have here? About Sarah and her hatred of Lost. This is
I don't hate Lost.
You just hate Michael and his child, who he rescues from harm.
It's not that I'm just thinking there's another way. I understand that he was under desperate, you know, in a desperate situation and need to save his child, but he didn't need to kill all those people and do everything along the way. I'm just saying there's always another way.
See, now you're just going to watch every episode of season four hoping that he dies again, or that he vanishes, or something horrible happens to him.
I just called Raul, and he was equally upset.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That was like my wife and Michelle Rodriguez. And we would just, every episode, we're like, someone kill her! And
she didn't bother me so much.
Oh, every day. It was like living hell every week just watching her on that program. It was like being set on fire. One more, and then we'll talk to Lisa Cotterd. Rick, this is so frustrating. Sarah needs to get through this season before she can... Sarah needs to get through season three before she complains. In the last episode, it becomes obvious that Michael is coming back because... Damn it, this is so frustrating, he says. Tell her to catch up as soon as she can.
Okay.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent to the stars, the one and only Lisa Goddard. Why, hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you two?
Let me ask you this. Are you an aficionado of the program Lost?
I'm off and on Lost.
All right.
But I don't know with the kid. You've lost me on Lost. I don't know about the kid and the murders. I don't even know.
Did you really just say that I have lost you?
I did. I'm glad you caught that.
All right.
Sparkling Wit is operating below gear one.
That's okay. It's idling. My switch on Lost is simply just turned off. So I got nothing. I can't even weigh in on. I'm relying on listeners to vicariously fill in for me today. I got nothing.
I'm relying on you. So I don't know. I'm gonna be. I have no idea what conclusions I will draw about this program, getting it like fourth hand.
I think basically what we're saying is that the inclusion of these of small children as characters in a television show never leads to anything good. It just really, I can't think, I'm trying to think right now, and this is a thing we could probably, you know, we could fill 20 minutes on this. I can't think of one single solitary program on television that has been made better by the inclusion of a child character or child actor. The sole exception to this is when it is a program where the entire crux of the story arc is...
That's what I was going to say. Like your Webster. I don't know if that's the best example.
Well, I was going to also
small
say...
Small Wonder.
I was going to Small Wonder, really? Did you just make a Small Wonder reference?
Yes.
Fantastic. Okay, now this is... With every Small Wonder reference you make on this program, you help to blot out... you have to remove the blight against your name from yesterday's Harry Potter discussion.
I came in knowing that I had to do something.
So you went home and you researched geeky references. Tomorrow I will reference Small Wonder.
That one wasn't planned. That was not staged. That was a off-the-cuff Small Wonder reference.
On Friday I will make a Pascal joke. The Small Wonder was a completely awful, wonderful, terrible, completely relentlessly bad television show that is fascinating to watch now.
Yes.
If you go back and watch Small Wonder, it astonishes you that program ever got on the air, especially because it was an independently syndicated show and it wasn't on a network of any kind.
Isn't that amazing? It's true. That's true.
Let me also say, the example I was going to give is Freaks and Geeks, where so much of the program is actually predicated on there being sort of gawky, sort of weird, socially inept young people. But there is no program... No adult-based program, by which I mean a program where most of the characters are adults and it's about adult plot lines. There has never been a program featuring adult characters and plot lines in which the program has been made better by the addition of a young child.
I think I've got one for you. The Wire, last season.
Okay, fine. All right. I will accept that. I will completely and totally accept The Wire.
But it's only because the kids weren't supposed to be all cute and tap dancing.
And because they're, like, killing people with nail guns.
Right, exactly right.
And they were, like, 9 years old. But I will totally cop to that.
They were on the cusp. They were on the cusp. Some of those kids were tiny kids,
You know, can I just tell you this? Let's talk about The Wire for just a second, since we're completely and totally off the point now. I don't know. How do you suppose the city of Baltimore, as they say, feels about that show?
Balmer,
yes.
It's mixed because I've got buddies up in Balmer and it's mixed. I think it is the main reaction is it's cool that any show is based in Baltimore. I think that eclipses the fact that it is incredibly negative, rough life on the streets.
I don't know what the reverse of a public service, an ad campaign is, but I mean, I don't know what the opposite of a ringing endorsement might be.
But I know exactly what you're saying. Exactly. I've got to think of that. I don't know.
And the only three programs I can come up with that take place in Baltimore are Homicide, Life on the Street, The Corner, which is all about drug dealing, and The Wire, which is about drug dealing and homicide.
Terrible. Especially because Baltimore is going through yet another attempted renaissance. You know, in the last one, they've had the whole harbor was built. It's beautiful. Now they're trying to, you know, get kind of a big chunk of the city uplifted. They're doing some great stuff in Baltimore. So that's the big complaint is that it doesn't show all the good stuff.
Uh-huh. Yes, right. Yes. Not unlike Flint, Michigan. It's depicted unfairly in the media.
Columbus, Ohio, which was the setting of I can't remember it. Come on. Michael J. Fox.
Oh, Family Ties.
Family Ties with Ohio, yeah.
Let me just make this one observation with The Wire, and then we'll talk about whatever the... Oh, yeah, politics and news.
Right. Perjury.
I was talking to somebody about The Wire the other day, and I really can't say this strongly enough to people who have not seen this program. It's an HBO program, but it's also out on DVD. It is neck and neck with The Shield for best program on television. And really, and it just depends on which one I'm watching. When I watch The Shield, I think it's the best show ever. When I watch The Wire, I'm convinced it's the best show ever.
Right.
But it is the only program on television. I mean, The Wire outstripped The Sopranos so long ago for me about in terms of quality.
I think that's true. Definitely the last season.
The Wire is just relentless. I mean, and not in a shticky kind of way. It is just so bleak, though. And so, but you get the feeling that it really is pretty true to life. Let me just make this one observation about The Wire. People who watched The Wire season 4, there was the character of Snoop, who was that sort of androgynous woman that worked for Marlo. And Stephen King, actually, a while back, wrote a whole essay in which he noted that girl, her name is Felicia Pearson, who plays Snoop on The Wire, that she actually is, he called her the most terrifying female villain in the history of television. And it really is true. I mean, she is off the charts creepy. I mean, she is absolutely horrifying on that program. And the great thing about her on that show, The Wire, is that is her first and so far only acting gig, because
I didn't know that.
It is kind of her life story. She was born to a crack-addicted mother. She was abandoned, series of foster homes, in trouble with the law, selling drugs, I think, robbery, and did jail time, ended up working at a club, and ran into one of the guys who starred on The Wire. They struck up a friendship, and she got cast out of that. But she really is kind of right off the streets onto that show. Which is why she sells it. Yeah, it's amazing. So she's got a great backstory. Her name is Felicia Pearson, if you get a chance. But, yeah, she is unbelievably creepy.
You know, I got to put in one last word, though. I think The Wire has outpaced The Shield. These last two seasons, back-to-back, The Wire is way ahead.
It's possible. I could go either way. The Wire, as somebody once said, the thing about The Shield, the good bad thing about The Shield is that it is very pulpy, you know?
Right.
It is very much, it's a titillating program, and they obviously do a lot of that intentionally, whereas The Wire, you get the feeling it's all about the sort of grit, it's about the realism of it. And The Shield is very much a page-turner, it's a potboiler, as they say.
Right, I hear you.
Okay.
All right.
And we're done with that. All right. Now that we've got like a cozy 4 minutes, well, I don't even know. All I know is that there's this perjury charge coming up, and Alberto Gonzalez's life continues to get worse and worse and darker with every single day. So where are we with this?
All right. So in the last couple of hours, 4 Democratic senators, and I bet you could name who the ringleader is, Chuck Schumer of New York, have come out and written a letter to the Solicitor General of the United States, who essentially is overseeing this whole U.S. attorney investigation. They've written this letter saying that there needs to be a special prosecutor assigned to look into the possibility that the attorney general committed perjury and lied to Congress, including his testimony just 2 days ago. Now, it was interesting. Immediately after they made this announcement, of course, everyone in Washington just went nuts. This is essentially saying that the top law enforcement officer in the country himself broke the law before Congress, And what's more, I know you're going to love the phrase, this does lead to yet another constitutional crisis.
I need like a sting. I need like a Daily Show type theme sting for that.
I think you do.
And when you say constitutional crisis, we have kind of a dun, 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 dun kind of a thing.
That is where we are.
Ah, wonderful.
Because the deal is that, of course, the Attorney General himself can't decide whether he should be investigated, or it really probably wouldn't be good. And then his number two also has recused himself. So, and because the Justice Department also has some people on the way out, as we've reported before, essentially the Solicitor General is the one overseeing this U.S. Attorney investigation. But it's not clear that he's the one who should make this decision on whether Gonzalez should be investigated. So it's very much up in the air. What's interesting is these Democrats come out with this big, huge kind of punch in the gut news conference. The White House response is, oh, you're just trying to make the headlines. Wait, the White House is not on very solid ground here because the Attorney General's hearings have not gone well. He hasn't been able to answer a lot of questions.
Yeah.
He just hasn't come off very well. So I think the White House was helped, though, in the last hour by Republican Arlen Specter, who has openly said, I want this Attorney General to go. But he also said, Chuck Schumer's playing politics here. I think that this is too soon to call for a perjury investigation. So in all, if you're adding up the columns on each side, perhaps the Democrats have a tiny bit more momentum on this, but not much. I think that it's a draw when it comes to this perjury investigation. And the truth is, we have no idea who is going to decide this or where it's going to go next. It's very unclear.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love things that are unclear because it means that at any moment chaos is lurking around the corner.
It is. It's outside my door.
Ah,
excellent. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at chaos right now.
Excellent. All right, my friend. It is always a pleasure. I'll let you go before Laura calls and screams at us.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody's calling me. Okay.
All right. Talk to you soon, Lisa. There you go. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. Fantastic. Well done. Excellent. Let's see. We'll take this one call, and then we will break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth, more on the way. And so
one big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Rick. Hello, George. Hello.
Rick.
Hi.
Two things.
Yes.
Unrelated.
Uh-huh.
Opie, he's the exception that proves the rule. Opie on Mayberry.
I'm not really an Andy Griffith Show fan, so I can't really say.
Oh, well, no, he can't then, I guess. Secondly, how do you feel when you hear that Marvin Bush, who was George Bush's brother, was in charge of security at the World Trade Center before the attacks?
Oh, no. No, no,
I just
no, no.
want it's the truth. I want to just pick your brain.
Please, no.
Can't
no,
please. I please?
George. Is it too late to just dump this entire segment of the phone call?
No.
Shouldn't
not.
We be shopping at a co-op right now or going to a country fair and buying a glass pipe?
I don't have to. I grow my own tomatoes.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Thank you. Bye now. All right. No.
George means well.
Pedal crazy somewhere else. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Back after this, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley returns around the corner. What the hell else do we have coming up? Oh, Amanda Moyer's going to talk to us. We got Scotty J's top five acts he's seen play at a state fair. And Scotty J has a task for we, the Rick Emerson Show and listeners. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Still to come later on, we have CNN Radio correspondent Amanda Moyer. Scotty J's top five acts he's seen perform at a state fair. Like us today at 3, like us 101 at 5 o'clock, down to Mike at 7. This, however, is Tim Riley of the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The cops say it was a drunk driver that led them on a chase through Southeast and ran 4 patrol cars early this morning. They did catch him.
Drunk driver?
I barely knew her.
It all started when an officer spotted the man driving erratically. Tried to pull him over at Southeast 148th and Southeast Division around 1 o'clock this morning. Then he took off racing through the city streets at speeds up to 65 miles an hour. This is a 30-minute chase. They tried various things to try to stop him, including blocking him with their cars. But he ran 4 of them. And he took off again. Eventually, they used spike strips and punctured the suspect's tires, and then he crashed.
And this is where 160 what and what?
It finally, let's see, the crash ended at Southeast 103rd and Southeast Washington.
That is God's country there.
It is. Well, there's a fashionable crook carrying a Louis Vuitton bag and robbing stores in the Pearl District. Now, one of these stores was Via Delizia. It's a dessert store. And apparently somebody came in there. The crook came in with a Louis Vuitton bag, and he robbed $400 from the register.
This is a man with a Louis Vuitton bag?
That's correct, yeah.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a memorable character you could spot a mile away. Louis Vuitton bag. He is white. Imagine that. About 5'10", he's skinny, has a scruffy goatee. He's known for wearing dark clothes, a red and black baseball cap, and carrying a Louis Vuitton bag.
One of these things is not like the other.
Yeah. So I don't know what the problem is.
It seems like there's some joke there, but I don't know enough about Louis Vuitton. Sarah, is there a joke to be made there?
No.
Okay.
Wait, I don't know.
I don't know. If I knew more about Louis Vuitton, I could make some sort of a joke. Or it seems like there's... No, never mind. I got nothing. Well, I'll come back to it later.
Breaking news, Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick has arrived at a Virginia courthouse.
Oh.
He was attired in a black suit and a blue shirt and tie. He made his way.
I'm sorry, just if I can interrupt for a second. When you said breaking news, Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick, and Sarah and I immediately were like waiting for the whole, like, has been repeatedly assaulted in an alley, and, you know.
Not yet.
We were so excited, hoping that something horrible had happened to him.
Not as of yet.
Oh, well.
But when it happens, you'll hear it here first.
Exactly. You'll hear it here first repeatedly, over and over and over again, with sort of an exciting horn-type calliope noise in the background.
Excellent.
I'm sorry. So he's arrived at court.
Yes, he has arrived.
All right. Yeah, F that guy.
All right. F that guy. Those two boys, abandoned by their father, will remain in state custody. A Marion County juvenile judge placed the two boys and their baby sister in foster care, probably with cruel foster parents. Blaine Danley, the father of the boys, was arrested Tuesday morning on child neglect and burglary charges. He left his 3-year-old and 22-month-old boys in an unlocked car in Salem. He was found across the street, half naked, covered with grease in the waist down, and asleep in the back of an SUV that he broke into.
Have they explained why he was half naked and covered in grease, or are we just supposed to fill that in ourselves?
Fill in yourself.
Okay.
There's nobody investigating these things.
Of course not. All right.
That's that. All more problems with John McCain's campaign. His advertising consultants have resigned from his campaign. His communications director described the departure of Russ Schieffer and Stuart Stevens as amicable, and that the Arizona Democrat appreciates their services but accepts their resignations. The two had an agreement to work with the McCain campaign, and he's trying to revitalize his staff and has plenty of openings.
You'll love his new spark.
Yeah. So apparently all he has is, like, part-time jobs. He's kind of like the intercom of political candidates.
I was just going to make that joke, actually.
What's wrong with this picture?
I just did one more thing that Jeff White can do. All right. By the way, we're going to need you to go out to this sticker stop at Les Schwab and also manage the media campaign for John McCain.
And drop off some of these naked lady matches. That's a big promotion.
Benefits? No, no. Get to work.
Has anybody heard of the country singer named Mindy McCready?
Yeah. I only know about her because her face got beaten in when the cops arrested her.
Well, she's in jail today, accused of violating probation on a 2004 drug charge after a scuffle with her mother. The 31-year-old country singer was taken into custody at Nashville International Airport. She was arrested last week in Fort Myers, Florida, her hometown. On charges, she scratched her mom in the face during a scuffle. She is not scheduled for a bond hearing. She could serve up to 3 years in prison if convicted. So she's in all kinds of problems. Yeah, she's a real-life country music person, really.
I don't even know what she sings.
I don't either.
Mindy McCready. Anybody?
No.
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 All right. Hey, you know who's hot? Is that Gretchen Wilson woman. She sings that, what does she sing? That Redneck Girl song, which is kind of great in a sort of hick, in a hick kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Really?
What? It's not a bad, it's a great song. I mean, in terms of like pure pop song craft, that's a great song. Also, she's hot, which is really the thing that I'm more concerned with.
You do like trashy.
I do. I really do.
Oh, this woman did have a hit in 1996 called Guys Do It All the Time. She's struggled in recent years with personal problems, including a beating by her ex-boyfriend and several suicide attempts. And to try to make things better, she had a baby.
Cars is the cure for problems all the time.
It'll be found abandoned in the vehicle by the end of the week.
I love him so much.
That's why she does my hair. We really, it seems like somebody now, just for the snake eating its tail to just come to its ultimate conclusion, somebody now just needs to write Mindy McCready's song into a country, her life into a country song.
And it'll come full circle.
Seriously, that's what I mean. Just, you know, somebody's probably writing it this instant, waiting for the second that she overdoses. You know, as soon as it's done, they'll just have Shelley Wright or somebody just bang that out, man, get it right into record stores. Fantastic. Well, she does seem authentically country. I'll give you that. Yep. All right. That's wonderful.
In the upcoming issue of Steppin' Out, whatever that is, comedian Kathy Griffin shows off a different size of herself in a sexy pictorial in which she poses.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
The sultry photos aren't the only reason.
No. My brain is rejecting what you're trying to tell me.
She has filled in several times on The View since Rosie O'Donnell's abrupt departure.
Filled out several times.
She does know back when discussing the show's main lady, Barbara Walters. I just say that Barbara Walters is a very complicated woman. I like her, but she doesn't get me at all. She doesn't have the pretense of getting me.
Okay.
I don't play up to her, and I'm not going to kiss her you know what, but I'm always willing to learn.
I'm sorry. There's just too much happening at once here.
I want Susan Summers' money.
Susan?
Mm-hmm.
Who's Susan Summers? Suzanne?
Oh, yes. Suzanne Summers'
money. What are we talking about?
About this story on E.T.
And this is a story about who?
Kathy Griffin.
And she's doing what?
She's posing in a provocative manner.
Why? Who wants to see that?
I don't know.
Is there anybody who likes Kathy Griffin? Anybody?
Mm.
Anybody anywhere?
She's somewhat amusing. If there's nothing else on TV,
you know she's coming. Well, then you'll be excited to know, Tim. I had this under. I had a whole pile of things you couldn't possibly care less about.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to do a whole segment called Rick Emerson's Things You Couldn't Possibly Care Less About. But apparently, it is possible for you to care less about this because apparently you care on some level. We have this now. The Paramount in Seattle, Washington. Kathy Griffin, second show just added. Tim.
Yeah.
Live Nation is pleased to announce the addition of a second Kathy Griffin show at the Paramount Theater in Seattle, November 17th.
But she's always around.
And she's here every 3 weeks.
I mean, she's like the Twisted Animation of the comedy world. There's always a Twisted Animation Festival coming to town next week.
She's the Steve Miller of female stand-up.
Or a local film festival you must see.
Scotty has noted about Gretchen Wilson, and really the spelling is what sells this year.
Mm.
This is all lowercase, except for my name. And he just has written here, and there's no punctuation, there's no anything. He just says, Gretchen, she looks like a leathered skank, Rick. Leathered skank. And then leathered is spelled L-E-A-T-H-E-R-D, leathered. I don't know what a leathered skank is. Is that some sort of an animal? All right, well, whatever. Anyway, all right, here's Tim Riley.
All right. Well, if your friends and family get fat, chances are you will, too. This is a startling new report out today that everybody's talking about. This is a large, federally funded study which found it to be true that even if your loved ones live far away, social ties seem to play a surprisingly strong role and more about the genes than you do. Worse, tend to find out that friends who are hundreds of miles away have as much impact on a person's weight as friends who are next door, says James Fowler of the University of California, San Diego. The study finds a person's chances of becoming obese went up 57% if a friend did, 40% if a sibling did, and 37% if a spouse did.
Well, that's stupid. How can
this whole thing is stupid?
It's retarded. How can
it is retarded?
F him. How is it that a friend? I ask this knowing that there's no way you know the answer to this because nobody doesn't say. How is it that somebody who doesn't even live in the same state as you can affect your weight?
Yeah.
Well, that's just made up. That's just a bunch of crap, is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, they get the money to study this, so they just...
That study is dead to me.
All right, well, let's throw it away so we won't deal with it again.
We ought to have a shredder in here so we can permanently get rid of things that we find offensive or off-putting in some way. Is somebody calling about Mindy McCready? Oh, no, you've screamed it away. Good. Well done, Scotty. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Northwest Airlines Flight 980 from Seattle to Memphis recalled yesterday afternoon after a man said there was a bomb on the plane. Airline spokeswoman Terry Ann Betancourt said the man who made the threat wanted to bring the plane back to the gate because he missed his flight. Is my pot up?
Yeah. Oh. To bring a plane back if you've missed your flight.
That's wonderful.
That was Kathy.
I'm sorry, what?
Well, it's what happens when you miss your soundbite.
Well, we should remind people that it is a federal offense to say something like that. It's not a good way to bring a plane back if you've missed your flight.
Wait, so he was late and he decided to get the plane back at the airport by saying there was a bomb on it?
Yeah.
That's a little bit like that's what one might call a Pyrrhic victory there. That's not really the proper behavior. No.
No, it isn't. Beyonce Knowles is doing fine after a tumble down a set of stairs at a Florida concert. Her manager slash father wasn't on hand for the show, but he said he talked to her following the performance. Matthew Knowles said he was impressed about how she handled the situation.
She didn't stop. She just bounced right up and completed the show. But she ends the performance with Irreplaceable, and she says, I fell, and I hope that's an example. Sometimes in life we fall. The key, do we get back up?
I feel really inspired all of a sudden. I'm ready to go take on the world and climb Mount Everest.
Maybe you should sign on for him to manage your career.
It's quite possibly. So he can fire everybody around me repeatedly, over and over and over again. It is amazing that actually didn't happen to her more often. If you look at that video, which is on my site on the YouTube, it's been posted, that she's got, I mean, it's kind of impressive, actually. She's going down these metal stairs, she's got a dress down to her ankles. The fact that she has only done that apparently this one time is actually a little impressive. I remember being an altar boy, and just as an altar boy, I would trip like once a month. I'd be going up the stair. I remember, was anybody here an altar boy? Tim?
No.
What?
Believe it or not, I was not.
How is that possible? You're from New Hampshire or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like a law. I thought that some guy came door to door and it made everybody be an altar. Are you Catholic? No? You're still an altar boy.
No.
That's amazing. All right.
I don't know why.
Sarah was an altar girl, though.
I was.
Godless pseudo-Catholic.
Oh, I think I know part of the reason. During that period of time when I was going to church, they had these things called folk masses. So there was...
Joan Baez.
I don't know who they were, but they were singing Bob Dylan songs.
Really?
Yeah, so there was an altar to go through. It's some hippy-dippy thing out of the 70s.
Are you sure you grew up Catholic? Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A folk mass. In a park or something?
No, it was in the basement of the church. And they would sing folk songs, have a regular mass. There was no altar. You would just go up to the priest, and they would put the host in your mouth.
I don't really know if you... I think they may have told you were going to church. I was just going to say, was it run by a guy named, like, Vito or something? Was it run by a guy who breathed real heavily and giggled a lot and scratched his genitals?
No, it was the same alcoholic priest that everybody else had.
So did he run a special... did he run a special private second mass for you all? Was it just... Were the other attendants all boys around your same age?
I believe so.
There'll be a special ceremony in the basement later for some of you young tender lads. Well, okay. Disturbing. Now I want to know all about that. That sounds like some...
There were people singing Blowing in the Wind. Don't ask me whose request that was. But they were singing that in some old...
Blowing in the Wind. I'm sorry. I'm 10 years old. All right.
I think I was about that time.
Yes, I would almost bet on it.
Me and the rest of the young men.
I don't even know where I was going with this. No, I was an altar boy. And there's this thing you had to do when you were a Catholic altar boy, and you probably still do it, being an altar boy is creepy now that I think about it. The whole thing is creepy. Did you find it creepy in retrospect, Sarah?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, at the time,
aren't altar girls, are there?
Well, I didn't think that there were secret masses held in the basement with Blowing in the Wind and a lot of supple young children. But apparently, we all went to different churches. There were altar girls, which is another. I was talking to Lisa Goddard about how my dad, at one point, yanked us out of the regular church we were going to and started driving us across town to a church that didn't recognize Vatican II, where they did the Latin Mass and everything. And it was because he felt the church was getting too liberal. But one of the other things was that they were starting to have female altar servers, altar girls. And my dad was just like, that was just not okay. It was not kosher, one might say, with him. He was not fine with that. But being an altar boy is just creepy in retrospect. But you do this whole ritual.
The bowing and you're like... like carrying around things for somebody else. And
that's exactly what I was going to point out. The part that's the creepiest in retrospect to me is there's this ritual you do when you're on stage, when you're on the altar, which is when the priest is getting ready to, like, bless the wafer and the goblet and the wine and the whatever. And the priest does this thing where he comes over and you're supposed to pour water over his hands. to symbolically clean his hands. And so, it, like, there's one altar boy that holds out, like, a little metal tray. And then the priest puts his hands out like Hawkeye, prepping before he goes into surgery. And then the other altar boy takes this little chalice of water, and you pour chilled water over the priest's fingers. This whole thing sounds so goddamn pagan and weird now that I think about it. But I was the...
You need a folk mass.
I was...
Were you the finger washer?
Yes, I was. But I would go up on onto the altar at the beginning of the mass. You would walk in, and there was one guy. This is really fascinating to me now that I think about it, and maybe not to anybody else, but get your own show. So we would walk in at the beginning of mass, and they would do the entrance theme, which is when they would play some, you know, whatever song you would enter to. The priest would walk in, and there would be, I think, three altar boys and a deacon or an acolyte or whatever the hell they are. The priest would walk in holding the Bible. The acolyte would walk in holding a huge, like a wooden cross or something. And then the altar boys would walk in, and they would carry two candles, and then the other one would carry, like, wine and water. And I always got stuck carrying the tray of wine and water. And so you'd be walking in through this tray of wine and water, and, of course, when you would dress up before church, there's the cassock and the surplice. And the cassock is the big black robe, and the surplice is, like, the white little frock that goes over it. And so... The cassock, though, is like they never have anything in your size. It's like it's always either way too short, and you don't want to do that, so you don't want to be showing off your Reebok high tops during church. Or so you get the thing, it's way too long. And so you're like shuffling along because you don't want to step on the cassock. And without fail, I would be walking up onto the altar, taking like the three steps. I would step, my foot would catch on the edge of the cassock, and bam, I would just go down like Joe Frazier, spilling the water and the wine, trying to catch them, everyone in church trying not to laugh. Some
you
hot
spilled
girl
it?
Told I spilled the wine and water on stage, convinced that God is going to kill you right there in front of the congregation. Always some hot
that's
girl
like
that
you
want to do, and she's over there with her family, and they're laughing at you. They think you're a heathen because you're spilling the blood of Jesus all over the stage. I mean... And let me tell you, there's nothing that gets the blood of Jesus out of the carpet. That's the one thing they don't tell you. The blood of Jesus will stain. You don't know
no,
from staining.
No. You use some resolve. The blood of Jesus gets right out.
Gets the blood of Jesus out in just a jiffy. Why not try it yourself?
Have you tried lemon juice on that blood of Jesus? But then they would do this thing where the priest comes down and you're supposed to wash his hands. And the fact that I'm there... You know, a young, succulent boy washing the hands of this drunken nitwit. I mean, it's just breath reeking of gin and bad cigars. I mean, Jesus, I'm so glad I never have to go to church again. I don't mean to disrespect anybody's faith.
I always had to carry the candle.
Really? And the candle, dude, were you ever afraid you were going to set yourself on fire
yeah,
with that?
Yeah, then you have to hoist this huge metal thing and try and get it into that slot.
Yeah, totally. You have to set the candle
without
into the hole.
Without dripping wax on yourself and trying to get it the first time so you're not up there, you know, clinking around.
And then we had the cross you had to carry in, and that was like on a metal pole with a huge wooden cross at the top, and it was like all top-heavy and whatnot. All right. Maybe, you know, the thing about this show is it's so much cheaper than therapy. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about this M&M's contest. One Philadelphia couple is $31,000 richer after successfully completing the M&M My Treasured Moments Challenge. The engaged Ryan Donlan and Jennifer Farina took a vow of silence and only communicated with each other using M&M's. Jennifer says she's glad it's over.
Oh, I'm so relieved. It was a good experience, but I'm glad it's over. It's good to be able to just say what you're feeling instead of trying to pick and choose your words and things like that.
She couldn't speak at all. It was hard to plan their wedding during this vow of silence.
Mine was like total shock when I said, you know, the date that they're holding for us, meaning like we have to go in there and talk to the hall and things, and... He's like, oh, we have a date. So we still have to talk.
Yeah, she sounds really gripping. I'm sure that they missed out on a lot of really tantalizing conversation during this period of time.
Ryan said some moments during the vow were harder than others.
If we weren't together and you had to call somebody, we couldn't call each other and say, look, I need this or I need that or, you know, could you do something for me? But I don't think there was a time where we thought, like,
he was an altar boy.
not pulling through that day.
Uh-huh. Well, all right. And who's he marrying?
Jennifer.
A woman?
Apparently so.
Okay. That's your story, mister. All right. Let's see. What are we... let's do this. Hi, Mike. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, how about special occasion when you're an altar boy and you had to carry the damn thing of incense?
Oh, the incense where you're swinging the big pot of whatever?
Yeah, you know, and the priest fills it so far up that the whole church is full of smoke and you can't breathe and it's in your eyes and you got to carry it in front of you.
And that's just a weird thing, too, because you're walking through. I remember the first time I took my wife to a Catholic mass because she had sort of heard that it was creepy and weird and all medieval, and I assured her that it was all of those things. And so I remember we took her to, like, it was a Christmas Eve mass. It might have been midnight mass or something. And we walk through, and the priest comes in. He's doing the whole Dominus, a Patris, a blah, da, da, blah, da, da, blah, da, da, you know, and you expect the Monty Python guys to be hitting themselves in the head with pieces of wood. And he's swinging the huge big chamber pot thing filled with incense. And, I mean, it's like at any moment you expect them to, like, be sacrificing babies on a big gargoyle. I mean, it's just weird.
It is kind of weird. Oh, and by the way, he washes his hands with holy water. That's why no soap is needed.
I'm sorry, that's why what?
No soap is needed.
Yes. Oh, that's, of course, yes. Holy water gets the red out. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Just wanted to thank y'all. This is Uncle Steve.
Yes, hello, sir. I didn't see that on the screen. What's up? How are you doing, my friend?
I took my family to Pirate's Tavern, and I have to thank y'all. It is wonderful.
Tim Riley only talks about the best things, my friend.
That's correct, yes.
Well, I had the chicken fried steak with no chicken or anything in it, and I'll put that up against anything. That was just unbelievable.
It's great, and also the fish and chips is really great too. I mean, that's a taste test. Like, I would absolutely take the Pepsi challenge on their fish and chips. I would never have known it was vegan.
Good enough to have on a Friday?
Yes, good. Yes. There you go. Good
make call, it any day.
Good callback, sir. Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
Peace out.
There you go. That's fantastic. You know, if only, really, if what's his name, if Nutcase Benedict, Pope, whatever his name is, Pope Fancy Pants, if he does this, succeeds with this whole thing of overturning Vatican II, then there could be a whole other wedge of business for the Pirates Tavern, for Catholics who go in who feel like they can't eat meat on the whatever. Because right now I think it's only during Lent that you can't eat meat on Fridays. All right. Let's see. Is this a... hi. Hello. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Hello.
Hi.
When I was an altar boy and they had the incense one time for the... They had, like, the Archbishop of Oregon. It was huge. And me and my brother were altar boys. I was about 8 years old. And he kept blowing... That smoke kept going in my face.
Uh-huh.
And I had to vomit. So I tried to go get out the side door, but a priest kept stopping me and saying, no, 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 this is serious. This is serious. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Another whiff of smoke. I got about 10 feet away from the door. Exorcist vomit all the way. All over the wall, down my nice little
Now, was
skirt.
This within sight of the congregation or within
sight? Oh, yeah. No, it's a semicircle altar all over the wall, puking all the way down, like 10 feet projectile puke.
And welcome to the lunch hour, everyone.
And I'm thinking I'm getting kicked out of the church, you know, and crying, and the priest comes out, oh, I thought you wanted to goof off with your brother. And then years later, I found out that my father had to go up and clean the vomit off of the altar.
They made him clean it.
Well,
you're heathen son.
Make him, but he just, felt that it was his duty or whatever.
Yes, well, Catholics, they do have guilt raised to an art form.
Oh, yes.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, enjoy.
Okay, fantastic. And then you're sitting up there, I know I made this turn into a whole when I was an altar boy segment, but then you're sitting there on the cushions during the church service, during Mass, and trying not to laugh. And that's always when everything strikes you as incredibly hilarious. And there's always some wiseacre that you're sitting next to who's always, like, elbowing you in the ribs, and nobody in the congregation can see it. Or he's... I used to sit next to this guy named Mike who would make these little flatulence noises with his mouth. And so we're sitting on the stage, and it's always when the priest is reading something. Let us all remember Mary Flaubert, who is dying of bone cancer at St. Angelique's Hospital. And meanwhile, there's a guy sitting next to me going... making fart noises with his mouth. And it's like, you know, if you laugh, they're just going to take you back and shoot you. All right, here's Tim Riley. Well, see what you missed out on, Tim?
I know it. I went to the wrong church, apparently.
It's true.
Astronauts were allowed to fly on at least two occasions after warnings that they were too drunk to fly.
Yeah.
Now, according to Aviation Week, they report on the findings of a panel reviewing astronaut health issues and the Lisa Nowak arrest. The report also cited what they called heavy use of alcohol by astronauts within the standard 12-hour bottle-to-throttle rule.
It's how great that they actually have a rule for it.
Mm-hmm. So they've been attempting to study this for quite some time. Also, NASA has lost $94 million in office equipment. They're looking the other way as employees give computers to spouses or claim missing laptops are lost in outer space.
Lost in Outer Space. Lost in Outer Space is the full-on... because
I guess it's probable.
That's the best
one of the boxes to check.
Lost in Space is the dog ate my homework of the NASA world because it's impossible to verify. Hey, what happened to that filing cabinet? You know, it must be lost near Phobos. I don't really know. I'd have to check my records. That's wonderful.
Instead of tightening controls, NASA relaxed them, making $10,000 the minimum value for trackable items instead of $5,000. The report recommends 10 steps, including disciplining and having employee oversight. In one instance, documented by the Accountability Office, an unidentified NASA worker explained the fate of a missing laptop worth $4,265. He wrote, "This computer, although assigned to me, has been used on board the International Space Station. I was informed that it was tossed overboard and burned up in the atmosphere when it failed."
Yeah, and you know that that's absolute BS. You know that it's complete and total uncheckable crap. Mm-hmm. That's what's so great about that. And you, but the other, the flip side of that coin is you wonder if it's really happened. You wonder if there's some guy has some crap he needs to get rid of. Where can I put this? I'll hide it in my closet. No, I'll hide it under my bed. I'll hide it in the footlocker. I'll hide it in the storage room. No. I'll take it into space and throw it into the heart of the sun. That's wonderful. I love this planet.
Well, Peter O'Toole is playing a pope.
How much tool? No, that one doesn't work. Never mind. I'm sorry. What?
Peter O'Toole is playing Pope Paul III, an upcoming episode of Showtime's historical series, The Two Doors.
I don't believe there was a Pope Paul III.
That's what it says here. Must go back. Let's see. Oh, he was a 16th century pope.
How is it that we had...
This is faith for today.
How is it... Oh, we had Pope John Paul.
Yeah.
The second, not
this
just
Pope Paul.
All right.
Plain old Pope Paul.
Why do they get a new name when they become pope?
I don't know.
It's like a second confirmation kind of a thing.
Oh, it's kind of like a stage name, an altar name.
Instead of Greenbaum.
And Peter O'Toole is an altar boy 6 decades ago.
And a drunk, so that works out. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's going to be a... There he is in his papal robes.
Let me see here.
There.
Boy, he's older than God. Jesus.
He's older than Pope Paul III.
All right. He's 74. Boy, you can tell he's just... That is a guy who's just sucked the marrow out of the bone of life. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a lot of tourists who line up to visit the White House are finding out they're not dressed for the occasion when they spot a new dress code that rules out things like tank tops and flip-flops. Tourist Sherry Alexander says she thinks the White House dress code is ruining people's plans.
They wait for the tour, and then all of a sudden they're told, sorry, you have to go back to your hotel and change your clothes.
Yeah, basically. These two White House tourists had differing views on the new dress code.
Well, people aren't going to change, so I guess they just won't be able to go on the tours.
Because in the United States, I'm free to dress the way I want to dress.
Not at the White House. One tourist disagrees with the dress code, but another says it's time to get dressed up.
It's a house. They sleep there. I could dress how I want to dress. That's what I think.
So, you know, it's where the president lives. You got to do what he says, I guess. I mean, dress the way they want you to.
Imagine being the reporter who has to cover this story like it's real news.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of wine do they use? Somebody asked me what kind of wine they use at churches for the blood of... What kind of wine really is suitable to become the blood of Jesus? Is that just off the shelf?
I'm not sure.
Sarah?
I don't know.
You know more about wine than anybody else on the show.
It's true.
Did you ever see what
red
wine they used? Yeah, they don't use white wine. That's interesting. Is there some rule
that you... I wonder who the distributor is for the wine in the Gallic Church.
I mean, I don't mean to sound sacrilegious, but I mean, do they go to Safeway and just make a big box of Franzia? Or...
Well, I guess it doesn't matter if the priest blesses it.
It all becomes magical. I mean, are all wines equivalent in the eyes of Jesus? And how interesting that they only use... red wine. I mean, why can't they use white wine? I mean, I know that it's supposed to look like, you know, blood, but you know, that's just creepy, too. What a weird thing. God, Catholics are just freaking bizarre. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hi, Rick. That's cathedral wine, and it's usually, that's the name of it, and it's usually made by, like, monks or somebody like that, and it's about 3% in alcohol content. It's not very high.
Now, do you know this to be the case?
Oh, absolutely. Now, I was an altar boy. In fact, I was an altar boy the first year I did it. They were still saying the masses in Latin.
Yeah.
But I never think about this stuff until you start talking about it, and then all these bad memories come up.
That's what we do, sir.
Well, we had a priest who we didn't want to do mass with for various reasons I won't go into. We used to call him the buffer. But when I knew I had to say mass, when I had to do mass with him, I would put my cassock on at home and walk through my neighborhood to the church for the mass, and of course I would suffer, you know, kids would spit on me and call me names and stuff like that, rather than go into the sanctuary and change in front of this priest. So, you know, you keep talking about the Catholic Church, and you're scarring me all over again.
Well, that's why we're here, my friend. We're here to traumatize you anew.
Well, it's working.
Excellent. Thank you. All right. He didn't seem to see the humor in that. All right. They called the priest the buffer.
Hmm.
Why could that be? I got a pretty expansive imagination. I can't come up with any answer for that. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Back after this, more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Amanda Moyer, Scotty J's top five axes seen at a state fair, and more of your phone calls. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. This is the first time I've ever seen somebody do that in real life. Sarah just stopped and threw salt over her left shoulder. What is that even for? Why do you do that? I don't know.
I don't know. It's not a habit. I spilled them, so.
Is that when you spill salt?
I would think
salt,
that Tim would do it, too. No?
I can't remember the last time I spilled something.
But what is the action that precedes doing that?
Oh, I spilled salt.
So if you spill salt, you were supposed to throw some over your left shoulder?
I guess so. I don't know. That's just always what I've done.
I mean, I'm not making fun. I just don't know. You always hear that, you know, reference. Throw salt over their shoulder.
I think I did left hand, left shoulder.
But that's if you spill salt.
Yes.
Okay. Interesting. That's one of those things where I know the deal, but I don't know the cause. All right. Fantastic. Hey, let's talk about awkward story placement in the Oregonian here, and then we'll continue with Tim Riley and more of these phone calls. We've got this fortified wine. A guy calling about garbage in space, and Scotty's claiming you went in and squirted him with water just now. Let's see. Is that true? Was he asking for it to be squirted?
Yeah. Well, I was calling somebody on the hotline. Yeah, and when he picks up, you know, automatically hangs up on the person that he's, you know, that I'm talking to, and it puts me on the other line. So he yells at me, he's like, hey, thanks for hanging up on that call, Sarah, after I heard him say, I'm sorry, we're not going to be able to get to your call today. Thanks for calling. And he's going to hang up on him anyway.
Well done, Scotty.
So I had to squirt him.
Right here in the Oregonian, in the metro section, by the way, there's two stories right next to each other. One is that idiot. Summer Clyborne? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Who's the guy? The Blaine Danley? Yeah, that's the guy that fell asleep and greased up and nude and left his kids in the car. So listen to this.
Yeah, he went to court today.
So he went to court, and so you know who else was in court was his baby's mama or whatever it is.
They found her?
Well, the mother of two boys sleeping in a parked car outside a stranger's house appeared in court Wednesday, a day after the boys were discovered in the family's private struggle with a drug addiction. I'm sure it was private. I'm sure nobody knew. I'm sure that there were no because certainly you didn't have to buy those drugs from somebody. And certainly it would be, you know, a drastic leap of logic for us to say that a bunch of strung-out, goddamn worthless junkies surround themselves with other strung-out junkies. I'm sure that there was no way anybody on Earth knew that they were doing a whole lot of drugs with their kids around. It was impossible to know. Summer Clyborne, 26, sat quietly beside her court-appointed lawyer during a brief child protective custody hearing. Her boys, Dakota and Cody, with a K, remain in temporary state foster care. Their five-month sister, Michaela, is in another foster home. Story right next to that. 39-year-old foster parent pled guilty Wednesday to sexually abusing four girls in his care in Hillsboro and was sentenced to 25 years in prison under Jessica's law. So that's fantastic.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, his bill is at like $50,000.
Right back into a thriving, flourishing foster care
system. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, things are looking up, kids. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, the commanding general at Fort Lewis, Washington, the third largest army base in the nation, has rescinded a plan calling for a once-a-month collective memorial service rather than individual ones where soldiers killed in action. Controversy erupted when the base announced that it would honor its dead in a single monthly ceremony because of growing losses in Iraq made individual services impractical. Well, naturally, there's been a public outcry, so they're going to return to doing that.
Was the public outcry because they felt that it was diminishing the loss to do a once-a-month ceremony?
Well, they were doing individual ones.
But, I mean, was that... So I understand...
I mean, every time there was a fatality, they would do a service.
But
because there were so many...
Right.
Apparently, they decided that they couldn't keep up with it.
So anymore. They were going to do like a... And I'm not trying to make light of this, but I'm right. saying they were trying to do like a once-a-month, like, and okay, there you go. And
right,
do them all once.
They're too busy.
But the public outcry was because they feel... The public feels that maybe diminishes the loss
yes.
or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, it's still inexcusable and inexplicable to me that we don't have flags that have... I'm not going to revise my whole rant about that. It just irritates me. You know, that we can somebody we somehow have the flags at half mast with the people in the Virginia Tech shooting, but not, you know, for like American soldiers who were being killed every day. What do we have here? This is garbage in space. Garbage in space.
Yeah,
Paul,
how you
hello.
Doing, Rick?
Hi.
Hey, yeah, I was happened to be scanning the channels a couple of mornings ago and happened to catch on NASA TV, and when I turned it on, I saw here was this astronaut. He was out on the what they call the robotic arm. They had him, you know, he had his foot restrained on it.
Right.
And he had this piece of equipment that he had unbolted off the side of the space station. So they told him, he says, okay, now do this like we told you in training. So he goes in and he's got this thing over his head, and then he leans all the way back, and then he leans all the way forward, and then he comes back and he just flings this thing out. And they had to make sure the trajectory was correct so that it goes in a decelerating orbit so it'll be able to burn up in the atmosphere.
That's so great. I love the idea that in space, it's like how guys say when you're... The great thing about being a guy is, when, like, if you're camping, the whole world is one big toilet. Mm-hmm. If you're outdoor, like, if you're in space, the whole world is just one big disposal. You know what I mean?
The thing is, I was about, is that this is something they actually trained them for.
Yeah, well, because if he throws it the wrong way, it's going to, like,
yeah, right.
go into his head or into the side
well,
of the shuttle.
Yeah, or to some other spacecraft.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Okay.
No. Excellent. Ahead. Thank you.
Get it.
All right, fantastic. I love the idea that space is just full of trash somehow floating around. I know that makes me a bad person, but I do kind of like that. Because it's sort of like a big zero-gravity landfill. And whether they admit it or not to their wives and girlfriends, guys find landfills to be really fascinating. Mm-hmm. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, this little cat has been called the Grim Creeper. Oscar the Cat seems to have an uncanny knack of predicting when nursing home patients are going to die by curling up next to them during their final hours. His accuracy, observed in 21 cases, has led the staff to call family members once he chooses to cuddle up next to one of the patients. It usually means they have less than 4 hours to live.
Have they overlooked the possibility that maybe the cat is itself killing people?
Oh, that is
sucking their breath away.
He doesn't make too many mistakes, say the people who run the nursing home.
I give it one.
To understand when patients are about to die.
I give it one day until an old person kills the cat. One day. Now that this story is widely known, cat comes and sits on somebody's lap, she's going to twist its head off and kick it down the hall. Right now. By the way, Fox did, whatever one might say about Fox News, they did the best headline ever for this cat that is able to spot the impending deaths of old people, mm-hmm. which is not... And I don't even think it's anything superstitious. We know scientifically that animals can sense the physical condition of humans better than humans themselves can. There are dogs that are trained to detect oncoming seizures in human beings because dogs are, and they think it's a, they think it is, like, what is it? I think it's like an alkaloid or something that's released into your blood, but they think that dogs can sense an oncoming seizure even before a human knows that they're going to have a seizure. A dog can smell the change in your body chemistry, knows that it's going to happen. So it's not like it's scientifically inconceivable. So it's not like some hobgoblin effect. But Fox had the best story about this cat that can sense the death of an old person, and it was, "Hello, kitty, goodbye, life." Which is just wonderful.
That
which
is
fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that we care so little about old people in this country that can just, we can have a hilarious headline about it. You know what I mean? You would never be able to get away with that if a cat was like, "And this cat sit next to newborn children and predicts their death." Like, you can never do a kooky headline about that. But because they're old people in a nursing home, and therefore we've just, like, we've already just sort of put them on a trash heap as a society, we can just sort of make all kinds of jokes about it. So there you go. So keep an eye out for the cat.
Americans who feel bored and underpaid do work hard at surfing the internet and catching up on gossip, that is.
Scotty.
According to a survey that found U.S. workers waste about 20% of their workday, an online survey of employees by online compensation company Salary.com found that 6 in 10 workers admit to wasting time at work, with an average employee wasting 1.7 hours on a typical 8.5-hour workday. Personal internet use topped the list as a leading time-wasting activity, according to 34% of respondents, with 20.3% listing socializing with coworkers and 17% conducting personal business as taking up time. The reasons why people wasted time varied, with nearly 18% of respondents questioned by email saying boredom and not having enough to do was the main reason. The second most popular reason was too many long hours. The others, being underpaid, and lastly, the lack of challenging work.
I think it's also just that most people just hate the company they work for. They hate the job they have.
What
they hate
people
their
boss. Do before the internet?
I don't know the answer to that, actually. Because you would hear that phrase, but don't quit being such a gold bricker. And a gold bricker.
Clock watcher is another one.
What does a gold bricker even mean? Where does that phrase even come from? That gold bricker was, now I'm getting confused. Was a gold bricker someone who was pretending to work but wasn't? Or was a gold bricker someone who was pretending to be sick but was faking it? Now I can't remember how that works. But yeah, clock watcher too. But how did you even get away with that before the era of the internet?
I don't remember.
You had to do that grade school thing of sliding a copy of Maxim inside your newspaper or whatever. I don't even know. Scotty is typing in. Scotty, I believe you were trying to talk about Munchausen syndrome, which he has spelled with a bunch of hyphens, and no, that's so misspelled that it can't even be recognized as a word almost. No, that's something else. I don't even know how you used to fake work back in the 60s or the 70s, when people probably cared about it at that point. Hi.
People sit there smoking, blowing smoke in each other's face.
That's the other thing. You used to be able to get away with it by having cigarette breaks, probably. You can't. I don't think you can do that anymore. There are no cigarette breaks at this point in time. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Good afternoon, Rick. Before I get to the salt and why it's thrown over your shoulder.
Yes.
For the high mass, do they use fortified wines?
For the what?
For the high masses. At the Catholic Church.
Is that a joke?
More, yeah. That didn't go very far.
I didn't recognize it as being a joke. I'm sorry. That's, yes. I don't know what one. So we've gotten conflicting stories. Listen to this one. Not to interrupt your interruption of yourself, but listen to this. Let's see. Because we were asking about Catholic wine. Rick, at my church they used, I swear to God he says this, and this is, I know who this guy is, and I don't think he's spinning a tale. He says, at my old church they used Manischewitz wine. It was golden wine, not red at all. It was cream sherry, nasty stuff. Even better after 40 people have backwashed it before you. He said, I don't know why they were using Jewish wine in an Episcopal church, but who knows? So there you go. So that's not Catholic wine as such, but I mean, the fact that they would be using Manischewitz wine in an Episcopal church is funny enough. So I don't know the answer, sir. Yeah. What is your other observation?
The salt. In a lot of areas of the world, salt was more valuable than gold. It was absolutely necessary to life.
Yes.
So spilled salt, you took a pinch of it and threw it over your shoulder into the face of death so that he could not get you.
Is that true?
That is true.
And this was because salt was... It's weird to think that actually that spices were at a time sort of more valuable than any gem or any precious metal.
Well, Roman soldiers were actually paid with salt instead of gold.
Now, see, here we've got another...
That valuable.
This one says, Rick, tossing... Oh, no, this is going to be another one of those why-do-you-tap-your-cigarettes things that no one can agree on. Tossing salt over your left shoulder is a biblical origin. Our dark lord, that is, Satan, is supposed to sit over your left shoulder. Spilled salt symbolically symbolizes, really? Lot's wife... And obedience to God's direction. So you're killing two birds by acknowledging the Almighty and momentarily blinding Lucifer. Surely Sarah picked this up unconsciously somewhere in her Catholic past. By the way, this doesn't grate on left-handed people at all. Ha ha. Best show ever. All right.
Yeah,
well,
and
we'll never know. Can't
ever
know.
My last days, I do want to just be spent with a pussy.
I'm sorry? I didn't even hear what he said, so I'm just
kidding. Yeah, I think that would be a good idea. Let's all push a little magic button.
All right, here's Tim Riley.
Ebony and Ivory, the Boise State University football player who scored on winning points in the Fiesta Bowl, then proposed to his cheerleader girlfriend on national television, says he's hired security for their wedding because of racial threats. You see, Ian Johnson, who is black, is marrying Chrissy Papadix,
who is
white.
Papadix?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. They've received a many...
Is that the name of their? Is that the name of their cheerleading squad?
That's her.
Papadix?
Papadix.
Papadix.
Papadix, yes. Papadix. Papadix.
Okay.
They're really sad because a lot of people came to cheer them on, but now they're threatening them.
Now, where is this at?
Boise, Idaho.
Oh, well.
W-O-L-D.
Well, excellent. That really does explain it all. I wondered if you were going to say somewhere in the South. But as soon as the word boys, as soon as I heard that part, I knew exactly what we were talking about.
Dixie to the north, right?
Seriously, why would you, I mean, honestly, I don't understand.
The claim to fame is a potato.
Why would you live there? I mean, I'm not just saying why would you live there if you were an interracial couple. Why would you live there at all if you were anyone? Why would really, unless you are a neo-Nazi, there's nothing there for you.
No.
There's nothing in that place for you. And I suppose there's a certain something to be said for the fact that if you're gonna live there in some way that irritates the pinheaded, bigoted locals, you know, there's a little something for that. You know, if you want to stay there just to irritate, like if you just want to stay there to irritate Klansmen, I mean, I guess I can get with that. That's sort of admirable. But
well,
I mean,
Mark Furman.
Yeah.
Isn't he living there?
Yes, he lives in Sandpoint. Yes, he does.
Oh, okay.
Lives in Sandpoint and does a does the live midday show on the prominent talk radio
does
station.
He do
in
radio also?
No, he doesn't. He Mark. I have to. I'll just say I'll just state the facts. How do I do? I'll do that. Then Mark Furman. He of the OJ case and the I never said the N-word in my life, blah, 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 that old guy. Mm. He lives in Sandpoint, Idaho, but he does a live and local weekday midday talk show on what I believe is the highest rated talk station in Spokane. So there you go. If you ever wondered, by the way, what kind of culture exists in Spokane, that tells you all you need to know. That they actually pay for Mark Furman to do a midday show Monday through Friday there. And that many, many, many people tune into it, and they listen religiously. So there you go. That tells you exactly what you need to know at that place. Here's Jeff on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hello. You know, Boise, Idaho is also a major congregating place for the Basque people, where every 5 years they have a festival called Hialdi.
Basque?
Basque. You know the Basques?
No.
You know, if you see the running with the bulls in Pamplona?
Yes.
All those people in the white outfits with the berets?
Sure.
Yeah, those are the Basques.
And why are they in Idaho again?
They just happened to migrate there to, they're mostly like sheep herders and goat herders, and they live in Boise, Idaho, and in Jordan Valley, Oregon, and just out there where the herding was going on.
Imagine just happening to migrate to Boise, Idaho. I mean, really, that's proof that whatever God you thought you were following has just abandoned you.
Well, you know, the Basques are all Catholic.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway,
this whole sideline, yes.
I was going to say, what did people do before the internet? I heard my mom worked at a real estate office in Portland in the mid to late 70s, before cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the outside salespersons would have to call in during the day, like pull over, find a payphone, and call in.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see those scenes. I was watching Crimes and Misdemeanors, which is the greatest of all Woody Allen films, the other day. And there's a sequence where he's at the movies with his niece. And he's like, oh, I got to call in and check my messages. And he goes to a phone booth, which, like, anachronism number one.
What's a phone booth?
And then he calls in to check his message services. To check his message service to see if there are any messages waiting for him. And, I mean, it's just a whole weird slice of the American economy that has just gone away over time. I mean, finding a phone booth. I actually remember the last time I tried to find a phone booth, and it always, you know, Tim and I talk a lot about when you're in Vancouver. If you're lost in Vancouver, I mean, you're lost forever. I mean, you'll never.
Superman's screwed.
No, it is. That's the other thing. It is, as Scotty would say, a labyrinth. You will never get out of Vancouver if you're lost, because there really ought to just be like a big red button you can hit that just blasts you into the stratosphere in sort of some sort of jet escape pack, so you can just gently, you know, just like the jet fighter pilots have. You can pull the thing and it just shoots you out of the canopy, because you'll never get out of there. But I was trying to find my friend Joni had moved. I was trying to find my way to her new house. I didn't have a cell phone. And I swear to God, I drove around, it's because we're talking about Vancouver, I drived around for about 35 minutes trying to find a payphone, because there's just nowhere for me to, and that was actually the day that I decided, like, F this, I'm getting a cell phone again, because I was lost there. So, no, you're absolutely right.
Yep. When you started in about the Dark Lord.
Yes.
I thought for sure you were going to go off on the First of the Fall and the spoiler versions. The Master of Destruction.
No idea what we're talking about right now.
Clerks 2, when they start singing.
Oh,
there you go.
Okay.
Come on.
Thank you. Bye now. All right, there you go. That's that guy. Let's do one more with Tim Riley, ladies and gents.
Lindsay Lohan's new thriller flick, I Know Who Killed Me, could be DOA. The stripper theme pick, which features Lilo making her pole dancing debut, opens tomorrow. Bad timing. The film opens on just 1,200 screens, 3,000 less than The Simpsons movie. They don't expect very much. Lindsay's Disasters Fall Off the Wagon could murder the flick. And that I Know Who Killed Me may open on the lower third of the top 10. I can barely find her name on the poster here. And it's a picture of a blue flower.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Where is
that's,
it?
It's hidden. It's hidden. It's at the top, but it's like it's all faded and whatnot.
And there are her faces.
Yeah.
Oh. You got to really know what you're looking for.
Yeah. No, no one's going
to. Sony doesn't have any faith. And theater owners don't have much faith. That's the naked truth about Lindsay.
Oh, there's going to be. There's no rescuing that career. She's done. She's host.
She could spend 180 days in jail, the latest.
Oh, let's hope that it happens. Because that's a real, as Sarah put it, that is a real PMITA prison. That's a, there's a no, that's not, that ain't no country club kind of prison. And the thing about Hollywood, and anybody, and it's not like I have a whole lot of experience in that industry, and Tim certainly has more than I do, what with his many works in Japanese anime.
My many failures.
Well, even more so then. The thing is, in Hollywood, Hollywood is just sort of like one big escalator. And it's like, if you get off for even a moment, there's like a million people just hopping right into your place. You know what I mean? It's if you step off that path for even a second, there are so many people just waiting to jostle you out of line forever. It's like, what's her name? There's so many people just... Check this. There's so many people...
Are you doing a Showgirls reference?
Oh, I just threw something at Sarah. How did you know I was going to do that?
Because I've known you for like 5 years now.
Damn it. Yes, I was going
to
do a
show. I cannot believe you just threw that pen at me so hard. That's a sharp pen. I'm not getting it back to you.
That's one of the good pens, too.
I threw it to, you know, it,
you aggressively threw that at me.
I deliberately threw it off to your right so it wouldn't hit you.
Showgirls. Did I ruin it for you?
Never mind. I'm not going to make the observation. No.
It'd be great to hear Showgirls quote.
Doesn't matter. The people will never hear my Showgirls observation.
And you'll never
and
see
that
your pen
is a loss.
You'll never see your pen again. I deliberately threw it to your right. I'm just saying. She's going to make a whole thing about the glass beads and then the staircase and the Crystal Connors and my favorite
with
Doggy Chow.
You almost maimed me with your pen.
Yes, I almost maimed you with my ballpoint pen. All right, we should take a break here. Oh, do we have a quick... Let's do this, and then we'll break. We'll come back. Amanda Moyer, top five, coming up. Scotty J has a favor to ask of us, and more of your phone calls. Hi, it's the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick. Hey. Quick fact for you. On the East Coast, they have found that because of the proliferation, I think that's the wrong word, of cell phones, that there were so few people not using payphones that they made payphones free.
Is that
and
true?
Then, yeah, but then they sold the space inside the payphones as advertisement and found out they actually made more money selling advertising space inside phone booths than on the actual phone call charge.
That is kind of cool, actually. You know, did you ever know this? By the way, here's a little bit of human nature. Did you ever notice that when you go to use a phone booth, here's the last great innovation in the world of phone booths, is a way to make it so when you lift up that weird kerchunkety like phone book thing, that the single page you want isn't ripped out, because it's never the page before or the page after. It's always just the page you want in the phone booth that somebody has gone through and they have just ripped out right before you got there.
Or it's like 40 pages right in the middle.
Yeah, exactly.
For no reason.
It's always the mental health and pawn shop sections are always just torn right out. All right, thank you, sir.
Hey, by the way, can you explain PMITA prison?
No, it stands for pretty much in the alley.
Thanks, Rick.
Best I can do. Thank you. Back after this, Amanda Moyer coming up. Scotty J's top five acts he's seen at a state fair. More of Tim Riley and so forth. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Don't go anywhere. Thanks so much for that. Just stomp all over my pop culture parade before it even begins. I appreciate that.
Anyone who's heard you speaking in the past like 2 years would know that you're going for a Showgirls reference.
Hey, can I say what I'm going for? Is my computer up?
It is.
Can I say what I'm going for right now?
Ah!
Yeah.
Did Walt ever appear in a place he wasn't supposed to be?
I think this is just a whole...
Somebody listened to a montage?
I think it's a montage of Walt moments.
She died a couple of weeks ago.
Not supposed to be mine.
Oh, I hate him.
Never part of the plan.
Are you all right?
No, I'm okay. This can't happen.
What?
Can't grow up in this place.
Don't you feel bad? If this is a 9.5-minute montage called Michael and Walt, and it just goes on relentlessly for no real reason. I'm not going to play it. I really just wanted to get the Walt shout. There you go. It's
thank you, Rick.
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, we have today's top five, Scotty J's top five musical acts he's seen at a state fair. Later on, more of Tim Riley and so forth. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the CNN Radio Center in Atlanta, the one and only Amanda Moyer. Hi, Amanda. How you doing?
Hi, I'm well. How are you guys?
Let me ask you this, Amanda. There's nothing in particular riding on this answer. I simply wish to know because we like you as a person and we'd like to know more about you. Are you a fan of the show Lost?
I'm not.
Well, you're dead to us then. No, it doesn't. No, I'm kidding. You're really not. No, it's okay. We're doing a... Have I asked you the Billy Joel question already? Now I've completely lost track of who I've asked this question of and who I have not.
I don't think you've asked me that.
Okay, we'll revisit the Billy Joel question here in just a few. It's a bad month, as I was saying yesterday, to be a professional athlete, to be involved in professional athletics, to be a fan, to be a whatever. Michael Vick, of course, is the... I mean, Tom Likas, who is another one of the radio hosts on this very fine station, he did a hour yesterday where he was talking about the Michael Vick thing versus the NBA game-fixing scandal, and he was talking about which one is worse and which one is more likely to have a negative impact on its particular game. But, I mean, the Michael Vick thing is certainly bad because it cuts across all kinds of culture, even in people who are not even sports fans as such. I mean, I'm not much of a sports fan. The Michael Vick thing is, I'm fully aware of it because it just seems so horrifying on all kinds of levels. So he is, what he is, he was at the courthouse today, or he is at the courthouse. What's happening right now?
He just left the courthouse, actually. There was loud cheers and boos and PETA people yelling, and the streets were all marked off because he came out and U.S. Marshals escorted him out. He had his bond hearing and arraignment earlier. Vic and his three co-defendants each pled not guilty a few moments ago. So the trial date has been set for November 26th.
And so who, I mean, you said there were loud boos and cheers. Who at this point really, really be cheering for Michael Vick? Are these the vast numbers of people that believe that he, what are they, is he claiming that he was framed, that he was his friends but not him, that it's all a misunderstanding? I mean, has he given any sort of explanation as to how this would have come about?
No, he really hasn't said much of anything. He hasn't spoken publicly. His lawyers haven't spoken publicly. However, the lawyers are about to speak in a few minutes. But he has denied all knowledge of this happening on his property and him having any part in it. Some fans were here. There were some people from Boston that I saw wearing jerseys with number 7 on them, which is Vic's number. And they said that, you know, somebody had to come out and support him. And I spoke to a couple other people, too. One guy brought a pit bull out, and he said... that he just didn't want this to turn into a big thing making him guilty before, you know, he was actually convicted. And so he said he was coming out to support him, and that if he was found guilty, you know, then that was that. But he didn't want anything to happen before that.
And if it does turn out that he's guilty, if he cops a plea or if he is, he's found guilty in a court of law, I mean, obviously, is this the sort of thing that he does, is this the sort of thing that carries jail time with it, or is it just a fine and certainly being kicked off the Falcons? I mean, or is this a thing that you could go to prison for?
He can face up to 6 years in prison. It's a two-part type of charge. It's a conspiracy charge that carries 5 years in prison and then 1 year in prison if he's convicted on the dog fighting charges themselves. So the conspiracy charge is easier to find him guilty on.
All right. Amanda Moyer, by the way, before we go, what is your favorite Billy Joel song, Amanda Moyer?
Piano Man?
Fair enough. That's a classic choice, but not a bad choice. That is a perfectly acceptable and reasonable answer. Excellent. Thank you so much. Amanda Moyer, CNN radio correspondent in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks, Amanda.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Amanda Moyer in Richmond, Virginia. You know, I don't think she dislikes me, but I feel she's indifferent to myself and to this program. I don't think she cares about me one way or the other. Rick, this email says...
I agree with that.
Some Catholic churches actually do use fortified wine. but only during Clackamas. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Are you busying yourself finding showgirls quotes over there? How's that coming for you?
No, I'm finding something else for you.
Really?
A special treat for Rick Emerson.
Are you angry because I threw my pen at you?
You're a little scary.
Uh-huh. All right.
So the first thing I'm trying to find is just a whole bunch of things put to a music video that somebody's taking
the time. Oh, God.
It's so annoying.
Speaking of people putting things to music, let me take just a second here and finish my cup of coffee. Everybody stay right there. I really ought to get one of our Let's Go Out to the Lobby intermission sounders, because it's always right about now when I do this. There we go. I'm sorry?
Can I play your surprise now?
Yes, go ahead.
Stop. Keep slowing us down. We're gonna
Is this a whole bunch of Michelle Rodriguez cuts?
Ana Lucia.
Oh, I hate her.
Got a question for you.
This is when she punches.
Yeah?
She's a bad girl.
Now that your tracker's gone, how are you going to find our camp without me?
Walk across the island, follow the beaches, and Echo's coming back.
Her voice is kind of annoying.
You married?
What?
She's just such a wooden actress.
I've never seen her anything else, but I did see a preview of a movie that they were playing on one of, like, some crappy TV station. She was playing a cop.
You haven't seen... Funny. Really? Of course. Okay, I'm sorry. This cancels out the wall thing. All right. You haven't seen Girl Fight? You got to see Girl Fight.
Girl Fight's
unbelievable. It's a boxing movie she did, you know, where she's a rough and tumble kid from the streets who boxes and so forth. All right, let's do this. Scotty has a favor to ask about.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Please, can I kiss you on the mouth? Please let me.
Good morning, Metolius.
Welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J, joining us now in the studio. Hello, Scotty. How are you?
Well, good afternoon, Keno. Named after a bird dog.
Yes. How are you?
Keno's 4,180 feet above sea level.
Know that I don't care about any of this. How are you doing today?
Great.
You know, you were wearing your sunglasses a lot this morning as you were, like, busying yourself in the kitchen. You were walking around the building in your sunglasses. Are we a little hungover today?
No, I had my hands full when I came in the building, and I couldn't, you know, put anything down. And then when I did, you're walking down the hall, and it looks like I have sunglasses on. But
it didn't look like you had sunglasses. You had sunglasses. How would it look like you had sunglasses on? You really did. All right. How goes the smoking?
Great.
All right. You smoked today?
No.
Yesterday?
Sniff away. No.
Sniff away. You have not smoked since, whatever, two Tuesdays ago, whatever the hell it was?
Right.
All right. Are you wearing the patch?
No.
Are you going to go back to the patch?
It just depends on if I'm, like, feeling really violent and edgy, I'll put it on.
You're being a little edgy today.
You really are. You're being a little snippy today, one might even say.
Really?
When you put on the patch, and you haven't shaved.
That's, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's too busy outside having a cigarette.
Every other day I do that.
Sucking nicotine down in the parking lot. When you put on the patch, how long does it take it for you to kick in, you know, for you to feel it?
Well.
In other words, if you're craving a cigarette.
I feel like it's like within the first few 5 minutes, but it could be longer than that. And again.
If you're craving a cigarette, because I don't know how this works. If you're craving a cigarette and you put the patch on, does the craving go away?
Usually within 2 minutes.
And so.
With or without the patch, that craving goes away.
Well, okay, but that's not really what I'm asking. What I'm saying is, when you put the patch on,
does feel like it's immediate, but it gets
into your bloodstream right away.
It could be mental, though.
Yes, yes, it could.
So could I.
All right. So you asked me this morning. You wanted us to create a list of what is it you needed us to list?
Here's what we need to do.
Scotty asked, but I only caught like half of what you're saying, because I was on my way to do something else. So Scotty needs us to create a list of some kind, but I forget exactly what it was. What was you needed from us?
We need to create a list of past shows, past people, whoever you've talked to, including the current shows. All the stars that you've talked to, so when I get blindsided by, Gabe Kaplan's people.
That's never going to happen. Do you know that they're never going to call you again? Okay. You're never going to be blind. Yes, when you get blindsided, when they call you unbidden and ask if he can come by and be on the show.
Or Scott Baio's
the many
people.
Unsolicited guest calls that you get on this program.
Who are you guys? Oh, well, we talked to this guy, this guy, this guy. Oh, we talked to all kinds
of people. Oh, they want
a
list.
I want to make a list so I can just turn to the wall and just right off the top of my tongue, whatever, off the top of my head. Sound like I know.
So you
what
want
I'm it,
you want
about.
This program to seem like a place where the hip happening guests come to
join. Exactly.
All right. You want to sort of impress them with the list of people we have already interviewed.
Yeah.
How is the Scott Baio thing coming, by the way?
Well, the gal. See,
the
I
gal,
got,
the little lady.
I got a hold of his agent. The agent told me to get a hold of a person at VH1. That VH1 person is on vacation for the next few days, but the assistant. I mean, it seriously is like the Entourage show. I mean, when you're talking to these people, or I view that in my mind. So she will be getting back to me, supposedly.
So really, there's
by
not,
the end of the week.
So we can the bottom line is so you there's nothing happening with this.
Bottom line is I'm anticipating a phone call, and in the future more phone calls, and I want to rattle off
all the names of the guests that we
major
had.
People like the gal from. Little House on the Prairie.
If I were to ask you this right now, on a scale of 1 to 100, how sure are you that you're going to get Scott Baio? Where would you put that?
I'm starting to feel beaten down.
Excellent. Well done.
It only took a year, but
maybe we should try Tom Bosley.
Everybody I call,
seriously,
I slick tongue. Things when
now
I'm talking.
Would Scott
slick
Baio
tongue.
Slick tongue.
Oh, don't ever do that. Don't ever do that again.
That was a joke. That's so gross sounding.
Oh, I slick tongued her real good.
Ew.
Sarah on cue. Okay, I broke the momentum up, you guys.
You've got to quit trying to be funny. No, don't do that. I slick-tongued her. I think she's going to call me right back. Yeah, that's usually the way it works. All right, so... So Scott Baio, you don't think it's Tom Bosley though? You really
Tom
that,
Bosley?
This is okay.
Is he alive?
Tim's got a good Tom Bosley. Tim's got a real great idea there though. Instead of doing that, can be your niche, Scotty. Instead of the person that you want to get on the show, which clearly you're not ever going to be able to do, you should just go with like somebody who once knew the guy that we want to get on the show. No, seriously, like so we can't get Scott Baio. You could probably get Tom Bosley.
I don't even know if he's alive.
Of course he's alive. Tom Bosley, those guys never die. Let me know. No,
I'm Ben Patton.
Seriously, that's what I mean.
Former TV dad.
You know what we could do? We could get...
Who are we just talking about today? We were asking if he's alive. Jonathan Winters. I think he's still alive, too. Those guys, the sort of second-tier celebrities, those guys are alive forever. It's the... the guys who burn real brightly die young. You know what I mean? But the guys who are sort of the second and third and fourth tier, the backbenchers, those guys live to be like 105. I mean, they never go away. They're there forever. So you could probably get Tom Bosley. You probably couldn't get Aaron Moran.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I want to talk about.
You'll never get Aaron Moran.
We get Aaron Moran.
You'll never
get
Aaron Moran.
We're talking about Scott Baio the whole time. Nothing about her.
Yes, because she won't see that coming. She won't see that coming a mile away. What the F else are we going to talk to Aaron Moran about? What lie would you possibly spin to Aaron Moran to not have her think that it's going to be about Scott Baio? Seriously.
That's
no,
true.
No, really, honestly, I'm going to role play this
it
right now.
True.
No.
Jonathan Winters is 82.
Before we go any further, this is because I'm beginning. I think that you go about these things the wrong way. The idea that you would somehow get Aaron Moran, who was Joni on Happy Days and Joni Loves Chachi, and who has her own scandalous history because, of course, she and Scott Baio had an affair, and she later accused...
It lasted a week,
and she accused a whole bunch of people on the show of sexually assaulting her, by the way. The fact that you think you would somehow get her under the program and that she would not think that you're... That she would not see it coming that you're going to ask her about Scott Baio. So let's now do a little role play. Okay, hold on. I'm Aaron Moran. Hello, this is Aaron Moran. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Aaron Moran. How can I help you?
Aaron, we are huge fans of you on the
Who
Happy
is this?
Date. This is Scotty J of the Rick Emerson Show.
I've never heard of that show.
Neither have I.
Is it on FM?
We're huge fans of you and Scott Baio. Speaking of Scott Baio...
Is this a show in Los Angeles?
Yeah, why, yes it is. We're part of the CBS family. I'm going to start lying.
Oh, CBS Radio. That is impressive. Do you know Marconi? I love that show.
No, never met him.
Okay.
I see where this is going, Rick, but maybe her agent...
No, no, no.
This is the network of Edward R. Murrow.
You have to continue the role play.
Maybe her agent will say, no,
you have
Scott...
No, we have to continue this. All right, so, Scotty J., how can I help you?
First of all, I got to step out of character for a second. I have nothing to say to Aaron Moran. That's the problem.
Well, how are you going to book guests if you can't? You're a salesperson. You have to...
I can talk to the real people, maybe. You know, their agents,
Do you see why maybe you're being less than successful, Scotty? You're not thinking these things through all the way to the end.
You could say something like, we heard your time on the show was less than happy days.
Unhappy
oh,
days.
Oh, that's clever.
Wow.
See, that's my thing. You'll never get Aaron Moran. But you could probably get Tom Bosley.
You could get Aaron Moran on the show. I know she likes publicity. However, you better have something to talk about, which I have
well,
nothing
I was
to talk
just
about.
I was just trying to role play to help improve your skills, but you have a defeat.
I have nothing to say to Aaron Moran.
You don't have to have anything to say to her as such. You just have to be able to get her on the show. Here's the other person
want her on the show?
Okay. See, now...
Scotty, you're being very difficult.
You're selective.
Seriously, quit being an ass. Obviously, you know why we'd want her on the show. I'm saying, if you're gonna call up and try to book somebody, you got to be able to, convince them that it's something we want to do.
Thus, we get back to the list. I can make it sound like we're important people.
So you're trying to get Aaron Moran on the show by letting her know we've talked to Carrot Top? Really?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
This is your strategy?
And we talked to Harvey Korman.
Okay.
Tim
All
Conway.
Right. Fine. Let's do it right now. Let's list. Okay. So what
okay,
do you
Harvey
want?
Korman, Tim Conway.
Stop.
Go.
Speak when spoken to. What do you need from us?
I need a list of all the people over the years that you have talked to, so I can throw that back at him. Well, what's the Rick Emerson show? Oh, we're about pop culture, entertainment, and current events,
right.
And we've talked to all these people, and just list a couple,
right.
Name drop a few names.
All right. All right.
But half the time I stumble when I'm on the phone.
Yeah, I'm sensing that.
What I have to think right off
the
top of my head, who we talked to.
Yes, all right, so let's see here, okay? I'll start. Nina Blackwood.
Of MTV?
Nina Blackwood of NASA.
Okay, who's Nina?
Nina Blackwood of MTV.
Right.
No, Nina Blackwood who cured polio. Yes, Nina Blackwood of MTV. I'm sure it's my irritation showing. All right, Nina Blackwood, let's go back a few years. Joshua Jackson. Do you need to know who these people are?
The Jackson Five?
I swear to God, I'm going to come over there and I'm going to kick you in the scrotum.
I think he's kind of serious. He almost gouged me with a pen today. You better calm down a little.
Seriously. No, seriously. All kidding aside.
I do not know who Joshua Jackson is, but once I get the list.
You're working on the goddamn program!
You remember, we had Joshua Jackson Day. You remember.
Right. It happened around the same time
you were here! You were working 5 feet away from us!
It happened around the same time that guy jumped out the window at the hotel
downtown.
That's right.
See, I was busy. I could look him up and remember.
Are we
going
to have to fit you with a shock collar? I swear to God. All right.
Okay, go.
I want you to make a promise to me right now that you're not going to try to be funny for the rest of the day.
I can't do that.
He's an entertainer.
It's in him and it's got to come out.
It's his blood.
Seriously, quit being difficult or I will come over there and I will do something horrible to you.
Okay. Ron Jeremy.
All right.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a name drop.
Oh, we also had Alyssa Milano.
Alyssa Milano. See how Sarah's being helpful?
I was being helpful. Harvey Korman, Tim
And we had that guy
Conway.
From the OC, whatever his name is, Ryan McKenzie.
Is that a guy from the OC? Does anybody know? Tim? Ryan McKenzie?
Sure, that's close enough.
Sure. Ryan McKenzie from what? The OC?
The OC.
Ryan McKenzie.
Vanilla Ice.
Tina Yothers.
Hold on. Tina Yothers. This is a fascinating topic. It actually is kind of interesting because I'd forgotten about a lot of these people.
Oh, Tina Benjamin Yothers. McKenzie, sorry.
Vanilla Ice.
You never talked to David Lee, right?
We can say we did.
David Lee, is he a country singer? David Lee Roth?
Yes.
David Lee,
I could have sworn you said you did one time.
Do you really just refer to him as that in your daily life, David Lee? All right. Vanilla Ice. All right. Who else? Nina Blackwood, Joshua Jackson, Ron Jeremy, Alyssa Milano, Ben McKenzie, Tina Yothers, Vanilla Ice. Oh, Tim Conway. Okay, Tim Conway. Steven Seagal.
Right.
Well remembered.
Little House on the Prairie.
How could I have forgotten that? Steven Seagal.
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller.
Yeah, that's right.
Dennis Miller.
Don Rickles.
Don Rickles. Excellent. Don Rickles.
This is a showcase of stars.
Allison Arngrim.
There you go.
Allison Arngrim. Carrot Top. God, that guy was an ass. And what a dick he was. Yeah. F him. Let's see. Who else do we have here?
I don't know.
Now let's make a list of the people we tried to get.
Yeah. Give me another legal pad. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Hello. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Okay, we tried to get that guy. That didn't really work. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, how could you forget that stunning interview you did with the guy that was at the Seattle to Portland bicycle race here just about a week ago?
Oh, yeah,
that's
was that
right.
Guy.
Jack
Scalia.
Yeah.
Oh, and Kyle Gass, that stellar interview as well.
Jesus, yeah,
just
really.
Just write Tenacious D.
It wasn't there. Yeah, that was the other road, the car wreck of an interview that I was thinking of.
Tenacious D, Kyle Gass. All right, thank you, sir.
I'm here to help.
All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see.
Cool.
What do you mean?
You spoke with Cool.
Oh, of Cool and the Gang.
Oh,
Cool
yeah.
and the Gang. Yeah, how could I have forgotten that? Boy, you want to talk just about some of the worst interviews we've ever done.
No,
on
that
the
was
show.
One of your best, actually.
I swear to God, it's so tempting just to stab you in the eyes with your pen. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Don't forget Tom Likas.
Oh, well, that's okay. Fair enough. No, that counts, I guess. Tom Likas. Excellent. Thank you, my friend.
You betcha.
See how these people are being helpful, Scotty? See how they're trying to help the program, and they're not just trying to be a big millstone that drags us down into failure? I'm sorry. Was that out loud? Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Well, that's a bad example, that call. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. You need to include Mark Hamill in there.
Mark Hamill. Well done, Luke Skywalker. Mark Hamill.
Thank you.
Thank you. I regret nothing. All right.
Stephanie Miller.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Cool.
No, that's been given. Do you remember anything about the interview, sir?
From Cool and the Gang?
Yeah.
I remember how drop-dead nervous you were before you went on the air with him.
Yeah, no, it was true, because I know zero about that guy. In fact, I've interviewed him now, and I don't even know anything about him. So, all right, thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Henry Rollins.
Henry Rollins. Yes, that is true. Yeah. We've interviewed Henry Rollins.
Two-headed baby on a stick.
Thank you. Thank you. That is from a long time ago. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, you gotta promote the locals, Storm Large.
There you go.
Storm Large, yeah, she is known. She's known outside of Portland.
And also, what's Craig Montoya's side project? We had them.
Tripolar. I can just say, I'll say Craig Montoya from Everclear.
Yeah.
Okay.
He loves that. He loves being called that.
Then you got Delana Magni and...
cast of Rockstar Supernova.
Lucas.
And Patrice Pike.
And Patrice, yeah. Those Rockstar. Are all people.
Right. Yeah, that's all national.
Yeah, we should go back afterwards and put a star next to the interviews that Scotty was responsible for. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Wasn't one of the Ramones on your show?
Marky Ramone.
There you go.
The best ever.
That was a great interview. I'm really proud of that interview. Marky Ramone.
I'll go peddle my conspiracy theories elsewhere now.
Oh, is this true? You can't call twice in one day. Go away. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, you can't forget Kenny Vance from way back.
Yes. I've tried, too. I really have tried.
Just put so much space in your mind.
Seriously, I've drunk myself to sleep. I've hit myself in the head with horseshoes. And you would takes up so much space in my head. I just
I know,
caught
come
that.
On.
I didn't know. I just missed it. I didn't catch that until...
That is one of the biggest men I've ever seen.
Oh, my children going to school with sodomites! All right. Seriously.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Bye now.
All right. Going to take over Vancouver.
Seriously.
Hey, you have.
If you listen closely, you can hear him supersizing it right now. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, that comedian you had on some of your bits that called into the show and did the Kinison stuff.
Craig Gass.
No. He's talking about the guy that did the impersonations, like the Kinison, and he was great. That wasn't.
That was Craig Gass.
Was it? Oh, I'm sorry, because you said that other guy earlier that was in
this
the
is that thing where
D.
you're
I got him mixed up.
Impersonating a call screener again.
And
hi.
Steven Seagal was so awesome, you have to list him twice.
Excellent. List each of his chins separately.
There you go.
Yeah, bye. Craig Gass and Kyle Gass are two different people.
There you go.
All right. We're listing the interviews the Rick Emerson Show has done over the years. So Scotty has a list of bona fides, as they say, to impress Aaron Moran with in his soon-to-be failed attempt. Seriously, if you can get her on the program...
I don't want to get her, really.
Okay, we'll get to these calls here in a second. look. Hold on. Just hold on. I'm going to put you back on hold. Here's the thing. I know that Sarah is thinking to herself that I'm being mean to you. And I know that she probably is all for it, though. So I know that there's a general perception probably floating around right now that I'm being cruel to you. But here's the thing. Aaron Moran is exactly who we'd want to get on the show, though.
Okay.
We would want to get Aaron Moran on the show. Because the Joni Loves Chachi, the Scott Baio was 45 and single, the thing is big. And she was, I think, the first person that he slept with. And she's nuts. I mean, because I think she did accuse somebody on the show of, like, molesting her or something. She went crazy and whatnot. And she's a part of American Pop Culture. She's exactly the kind of person we want to get on the show. Obviously, we would love to talk to Scott Baio. That's probably not going to happen.
I'm shooting for it, though.
Well,
I will put my one
shoot in one hand and spit in the other, my friend. You see which one fills up faster. So, I mean, look, if you can get Scott Baio, God bless you. More power to you. But that's probably not going to happen. Aaron Moran would be probably equally interesting because she's not going to stick to a bunch of talking points the way that Scott Baio would. And she's probably got something. She's probably got some line of jewelry or handbags or some crap like they all do. So, I'm just saying.
Anybody else on the show?
And really? And what's her name? Marion Ross.
That'd be cool.
Or that gal who played Leather Tuscadero.
Leather Tuscadero.
Oh, Pinky.
No.
How hard
did
she get again?
Leather Tuscadero, who was Pinky's sister.
Oh, okay.
There was Pinky Tuscadero, and Leather Tuscadero was her sister. Marion Ross, who played the mom, is also Rory Gilmore's great-grandmother.
Mm.
She is, what's her name, Emily Gilmore's mom on the Gilmore Girls. All right. We'll get back to the Rick Emerson show.
What about the Rickles?
Now, Don Rickles, we had that, sir. Yes, indeed. We did interview Don Rickles. Thank you. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Yo.
Hello.
Did you have Dick Dale?
Dick Dale, yeah. No, surf guitar legend Dick Dale. We did, in fact, I completely forgot. See, this is really good that we did this, because I would never remember any of these guys. That's amazing. When I look at it, I'm looking, I got like, that's like 40 names right there. God damn, we're great. All right, thank you.
Take it easy.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Alan Thicke and Richard Cheese.
We didn't interview Alan Thicke, did we?
The dad from Growing Pains.
That is Alan. Yeah, that's Alan Thicke. Did we interview him?
Didn't you interview him? Wasn't he talking about, didn't he have some, like, charity or something that he was trying to drum
who
up?
Remembers us who remembers us interviewing
you know
Alan Thicke?
That sounds vaguely familiar.
I don't remember that.
I have no recollection one way or the other. I'm an agnostic on that. I have no knowledge of whether we interviewed Alan Thicke or not.
Well, at the very least, you interviewed Richard Cheese.
That is true. Also, Richard Cheese. He is known far and wide. Richard.
And I swear that you interviewed Alan Thicke.
How weird. I'm going to put that one down with a star next to it, Alan. Here's the reason I'm suspecting that we didn't interview Alan Thicke is because I don't remember drilling him about writing the Three's Company theme song.
I'm pretty sure you did mention that.
I don't remember that.
I think maybe. What is
have I become
though?
So old and just drug-addled that I can't even remember whether I interviewed Alan Thicke?
I don't remember that one either.
Yeah, Tim doesn't remember it either. Are you sure you're not confusing me with somebody more talented?
No, because I think it was another one of those train wreck kind of interviews.
What are the odds of that? All right. Thank you. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Maybe that was on the Entercom version of the show. We've tried to forget that whole era. We've just tried to forget everything about working for Entercom. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi. Kenny G.
Now you're just screwing with me. Don't be an ass.
I think that was Kisses. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it
came. Okay, that's funny. All right, no, fair enough. That's funny, sir. All right, hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey, in a previous life of your show, didn't you interview Anne Rice?
I don't know.
I remember another version of the show a few years ago where I swear to God you interviewed Anne Rice.
When you say another version of the show, what are you talking about?
When you first came to Portland.
Are you trying to speak in code about something?
No, when you first came to Portland, you're before the unpleasantness.
Here's why I don't think that's true. Because I cannot imagine, and Tim is shaking his head, no, I cannot imagine that when I first came to Portland, that this show was big enough. And not like not like I'm world famous now or something. I mean, the show is, we have a small degree people are known to some degree. But when I first came to Portland, I can't imagine I would have been able to pull a guest that big, because she's a big deal.
I thought it was when you were syndicated.
I don't know. point. No one remembers that show except for you. Okay, I'll write it down with a question mark next to it. Anne
okay,
Rice.
You might be able to get Erin Moran on because she was on that show, you know, Scott Baio, 40 and Single.
Right.
She's already been on the show.
Oh, I didn't know that, really?
Yeah, he was one of the first persons that he went and talked to on
okay.
his ex. Girlfriend.
Okay. Well, we'll write it down, and I'll check into the Anne Rice thing, sir.
Okay, man.
You know, that does sound ever so vaguely familiar. And if it was during this...
See, the album Thick thing sounds familiar to me. Because I do remember you... Oh, I don't know. What if...
And if it was...
just gotten into our minds, and he's making it up.
And if it was during the syndicated era, I might have been able to pull off interviewing Anne Rice. Now people are just going to start planting false memories of things. Remember that time you interviewed Jesus? Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Current star of the riches, Eddie Izzard.
Ah, yeah, we did interview Eddie Izzard. Well,
take that, anyone who's not me. Yeah.
Excellent. Thank you. Fantastic.
We have got to break.
Okay. We'll finish this. We'll finish these calls, then we'll break. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
How about the members of the greatest band in the world, Iron Maiden? And if you haven't, you should.
No, but I interviewed Odorous Arungus from GWAR.
Oh, well, how about you ever interview Bruce Dickinson, to be more serious?
No.
Okay.
You can't. Thanks. This is not people that I ought to have interviewed.
I have Jake Gyllenhaal in my mind for some reason.
You and Sarah.
Oh, Richard Kelly.
You were just talking about him.
I don't know who Richard Kelly is.
Richard Kelly, the director of Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah. Richard Kelly, Donnie Darko.
Were you just talking about Jake or something back then?
No, it's
your
repressed homosexual longings for him, Scotty. Hi, you're on the Rick. I didn't hear a denial. I don't hear a no.
Because I've been told to shut up.
Yes. Well remembered. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Last call for this segment. Other interviews we may have forgotten doing.
Alice Cooper. Oh, no, that's wrong.
Can I
get a wah-wah-wah?
Put it down anyway, Scotty.
Yeah, take yourself out with
it. Put it down anyway.
Yeah, do a little... Hold on. Where's my... Fantastic. Yeah, well, for the win. Thank you, sir.
You bet.
Badass. Oh, and here's an Alice Cooper bit. Thanks, Sarah. Wonderful. All right, back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Tim Riley around the corner later on the top five. You stay right there. I ain't got a gun because I ain't got a job. It's the Rick Emerson Show. 503-733-2970. This one, the front page of today's Oregonian business section. A snapshot here of the moment the doors were open at the new IKEA, and a surge of humanity pouring in. The poll quote from Sandra Johnson, who is a first-time IKEA visitor, is, "It's great. It's like Home Depot with color." That's wonderful. Fantastic. All right. In the first hour, 2,300 shoppers in the Portland IKEA. $120,000, by the way, is... what it costs to provide additional police assistance, that's money well spent. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Sabotage. This is a breaking story. A space worker deliberately damaged a computer that was supposed to fly aboard the shuttle Endeavour in less than 2 weeks. This is an act of sabotage. It was caught before the employment was loaded into the spaceship. The unidentified employee who works as a NASA subcontractor cut wires deliberately inside this computer that was supposed to be delivered to the International Space Station by Endeavour. The worker also damaged a similar computer that was not meant to fly in space. This sabotage occurred outside Florida. They did not identify the subcontractor to protect his identity. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Vick has pled not guilty on dogfighting charges at a courtroom in Virginia moments ago. The Washington County Fair is a show place of sheep and goats. They're trying to find a new...
Is that the headline? This just in.
It is a show place of sheep and goats, but they're trying some newfangled idea trying to bring the kids in. The fair is promoting itself on the MySpace.
I saw that right here. Did you see this quote?
These are future fair goers.
The Washington County Fair is trying a newfangled, I swear to God the article says this, newfangled way to bring in the kids, says Kathleen Gorman.
Now, interests include elephant ears, cotton candy, and deep fried Oreos.
Well, that is the MySpace demographic.
As well as tractors, rodeo bulls, and a demolition derby. Let's see here. Some of the kids are looking forward to these deep-fried Oreos. Yeah. What's not to love, they ask.
Exactly. They were in danger of slipping below 200 pounds, but fortunately the fair is there to shore up their waistlines. Have you ever... Well, this station doesn't, but, I mean, of course, Tim and I have both... We were talking about... what was it we were talking about? We were talking about doing... Oh, we were talking about doing tags, about awful production tags. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the other thing I don't miss is going and manning some sort of a booth for the radio station at a fair, which I've just done... More times than I can even possibly remember. Did you ever have to do that when you were working for at Fisher?
Not at a fair, no.
You never had the country station ever dragged you out to a fairground? Oh, it's a living hell. Oh, it's the worst thing on earth.
Enter this drawing to win electric scissors.
Seriously, it's just...
It's smoldering in the heat.
Just sitting there, standing behind a card table, giving out stickers for a radio station that none of the people walking by are ever going to listen to.
Have this melted album. It's only been sitting out here for 10 hours in 90 degree heat.
Would you like to enter your name into our database for a chance at winning this CD single of an artist you don't care about? Come on. Come on. Hello. Where are you going?
Here's a coupon for 5% off a brand new refrigerator.
And it's this, I mean, it's people who are walking by your booth on their way to get, like, a caricature of themselves drawn riding, like, a horse with them with, like, a little body and a big head or something. Or they're walking by with one of those white straw hats that somebody has just painted in shades of fluorescent pink and blue with a big feather on the side of
it. Here's a box of melted donuts. Why not take one for the kids?
Really? And, you know, we don't have to do that anymore, I say, God willing, but I...
Where is the station? It's here in town. How long have you been here? Since 1948?
I remember when I worked for Citadel, Communications, it was like a package deal where the cluster, as they say, had arranged to be at the fair. Now, don't get me wrong. I've gone to many fairs as a participant, growing up in on one of the notches on the wheat belt or whatever it is, and growing up here, I had to go to, you know, places like that. It was fun, you know. I guess if you're lacking carbohydrates and manure in your life, then, I mean, it's fantastic. But, I mean, anyway, so I'm not trying to knock the fair. The fair is an American institution. But they would do one of these package deals where they would have the entire radio station, the entire cluster, as they say, from that town at the fair. So there'd be, like, the country station we got at the fair, that's fine. There, the adult contemporary station have a booth at the fair, that's fine. The Radio Disney station would have a booth at the fair, that's fine. But then as part of the package deal, they would buy, like, you know, like whatever hot talk station I was working at to be at the fair. And so we'd be there blaring Tom Likas at top volume to a bunch of Farmer Green Jeans types as they're walking by with their, you know, with their children clutching Bibles and rosaries. And meanwhile, Tom Likas is shrieking on the phone about dumping that bitch and, you know, calling, you know, and I'm sitting there gamely handing out stickers to horrified Christians as they walk by at the fair, and Tom Likas, she's a whore! You know, and it's just, I mean, it's sort of hilarious now, but at the time you're just thinking, just like, why am I here? How have I ended up in this place? I mean, goddamn, boy, I don't miss that. Anyway, so there you go. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, a U.S. judge today struck down as unconstitutional local law designed to crack down on illegal immigration. U.S. District Judge James Munley said the city of Hazleton, which is north of Philadelphia, was not allowed to implement a law that would punish businesses for hiring illegal aliens.
Oh, come on! I'm sorry. That wasn't me.
Yeah.
Why?
It says it's unconstitutional.
But
it's...
All right. Attention, Tom Potter. There's another town you can be the mayor of.
There you go, Tom Potter.
Jesus, God. You know, he was leading a march, like a Scottish march, through downtown Portland today. Did you know that?
No. Is he welcoming new criminals into town?
Maybe. We should just put up a huge border at the... A huge sign at the Portland border. Welcome criminals. Sign Tom Potter.
Come use my bathroom.
El baño es cerrado, or whatever it is. No, what is open? Abierto. So
here's the problem in this town, and I'm sure it's happening in other towns. About a third of the city's residents are immigrants, most undocumented.
No.
Which means illegal. Dozens of cities and towns have bundled their own immigration laws on those towns.
Can I just stop you for just 1 second?
Please.
Look, yes. Linguistically, this just leave aside the social and philosophical issues of all this. Mm-hmm. This just is bad use of language. Calling an illegal immigrant an undocumented American is like calling a guy who has broken into my home an undocumented resident of my house. He's not an he's broken into my home. He's not an undocumented anything. He's just a guy that broke in. I mean, it's appalling misuse of the English language. Jesus.
So, well, that's what happened.
All right. Well, there
as you can see, it looks like we better get busy building those fences again at the border.
All right. And, you know, and this is such a lose-lose issue. I mean, in terms of just who you're siding with here. Mm-hmm. Because, of course, I mean, it's just plainly stupid to say that illegal immigration does not harm the American economy. I mean, there's just no argument you can make for that. I mean, it doesn't matter where immigrants are from. It doesn't matter what country they're from. Illegal immigration is bad for the American economy. There's no argument you can make that says that illegal immigration helps this country in any real way. It's just implausible. But, you know, on the other hand, God, have you seen that ad that is on the Drudge Report with the three old women standing at the border with the binoculars?
Oh, yes.
I mean, and of course, and that's, and it's, I think it, I guess it's for some, like, reality, some online reality show, maybe, or some, so it looks like it's for some kind of right-wing indie film, because the Republicans keep trying to crank out their own version of Michael Moore, but of course, Republicans typically have no sense of humor, and are, like, the least creative people on Earth. So that's why it doesn't really work. But it looks like they're trying to make some sort of right-wing Michael Moore-esque sort of funny documentary thing. But I guess the whole shtick of it is it's like these three blue hairs from Arizona who are just walking around with binoculars at the border looking for brown people they can call the police on. And it's like you don't want to be allied with those people either. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because and whenever you talk about illegal immigration, if you point out that illegal immigration is, you know, a bad idea, then it's like I feel like I'm somehow lumping myself in with, like, my grandparents, you know, who were just terrible, awful, racist people. So it's just the worst issue because there's no good camp to be in. I mean, there's just morons on either side of the issue. It's just terrible.
All right. Well, whatever. Well, that's that. That half-naked, greased-up man who left his kids in the car has had his bail set at $50,000. Blaine Danley was charged with one count of felony of first-degree burglary and two felony counts of first-degree criminal mistreatment. The children have been placed in protective custody. Well, somebody stole 1,000 gallons of water from Daisy Valadia's backyard, and they didn't spill a drop. Daisy woke up to find her family's inflatable pool, about hip-high and 10 feet in diameter, that was filled with water, was stolen from her backyard in the middle of the night. There's no evidence the water was pulled out, pumped out, evaporated, or drunk. Why, I've never heard of a pool being stolen, let alone with water in it, but apparently that's what happened to Daisy.
I'm sorry. Okay. How about this? Here's a fair-related email. Rick, my first job out of college... Can I just tell you this?
Yes.
Let me just say this. Here's what happens when you take, by the way, this is a little anecdote about the fair. Here's what happens when you take radio people, such as myself, and put them in a scenario where they don't want to be. Like when you take talk show hosts, and this is back in Salt Lake, when you take talk show hosts and you force us to be at a state fair against our will, and the only sort of proviso is like, well, just do something, you know, get people interested in the station. And that was all, and then we bitched and moaned and screamed up and down that we didn't want to have to be at the freaking fair, and they just made us go out there anyway. And I wasn't in any position to say no. And so all they told us was, just set up some booth, get people talking about the station. So this was right about the time that Mickey Mantle was dying because his liver had just fallen into little pieces because he was, you know, like a drunk, as he himself admitted. He was a lifelong drunk and abuser of alcohol, treated his body like it was some sort of a sewer.
And now he's just floating in a saucepan with his head cut off.
The end. It really is true. Anyway, and so, but there was this whole deal, but they were trying to find a liver donor for Mickey Mantle, who was first of all, he was like 100 years old, and he also, the only reason he needed a new liver is because he was a goddamned alcoholic, and he just had said that, just given himself cirrhosis and liver failure. And whatever. I mean, choose to drink, don't choose to drink. I don't care. But it was his own fault that he needed a new liver. And that was the only, that was the only thing they gave us. Just go to the fair and just, you know, get people interested in the station. So we just did a huge, we just did this huge petition that we then sent to Mickey Mantle. We're trying to get people to sign this. We had it printed out. We had the header for the petition printed out in like letters like 4 feet high and about 8 feet across, and it was this petition urging Mickey Mantle to kill himself so somebody so that somebody else could get his liver. It was like, won't you please, sign this petition urging Mickey Mantle to kill himself? And the best thing was, our sister station was a sports station, and they were right across from us, and people would come by, and we had this guy with like a carnival barker guy, like my morning host Todd, would be out there with his megaphone, urging Mickey Mantle to take his own life. Come sign this petition. And they, after like a day, they kicked us out. We never had to go back. It was fantastic. Rick, this I wish I had a video of that. Rick, my first job out of college was for an advertising agency that did the ads for the Central Washington State Fair in Yakima. And every year they'd pick the most tired, out-of-date theme to name the fair, like Funapalooza. I was... Funapalooza. And you know that that's something they used in, like, 2004. I was visiting the area a few weeks ago, and I noticed the theme name for this year's fair. Keep in mind, this is 2007. The theme of this year's fair in Central Washington? Not Funapalooza. The name of this year's fair is...
Funbershoot?
No, that's actually more interesting than this. The name of this year's Central Washington State Fair is... LOL. There you go.
Lots of llamas.
Hi, Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, lots of lard. Hi.
Hey, I'm disappointed I'm not going to still be in Central Washington. This is Brad.
Hey.
It's a good time over there.
Yes, I'm sure it is.
Yeah. Hey, I love it when Tim tries to weigh in on sports sort of subjects, because the guy with his head cut off and his body in there, his head in the freezer, is Ted Williams, not Mickey Mantle.
Now, do you know for a fact that Mickey Mantle's head isn't cut off in a pan? I mean, really, are you prepared to say that definitively?
Oh, actually not. I've been to a steakhouse, though, but...
Okay.
No, but actually it was Ted Williams.
Isn't it the kid where the kid's like froze his head or something?
Yes, and they were fighting over the rights, and I think the place was breaking down and he was thawing out.
Fantastic. Wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Badass. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. Thanks for taking my call. This is the only place I can address this. I'm talking about, I want to throw out there, the quintessential 80s movie, the quintessential 80s song. It can't be like a top-selling movie or a hugely successful recording artist. It's got to be just kind of a fringe type of a thing, you know, something that came in like third or fourth at the box office but was repeated on cable. My suggestion is movie...
Hold on, before you say your movie. First of all, it should be noted on the screen that it says, wants to talk about immigration issues. Secondly, are you attempting to kickstart, are you trying to start here a high-concept topic?
It's essentially the ultimate 80s movie. Not the best, not the most popular, but... The one that typified the generation, hopefully it would maybe be in the middle of the decade. Hopefully it would star a couple of people whose careers peaked in the 80s, and it would just have a sort of tone that seemed very 80s-like.
All right, hold the thing. Hold on. We're not going to take your call today. Scotty's going to get your info. We'll have you call tomorrow with that. So don't feel all discouraged. That's a better... And then Tim's gone.
Should we just jump the top of our head?
I waited for 5 seconds. Tim's gone. Well, the thing is, if we do it now, we're going to trigger like a whole boatload of calls about
That's true.
You know, tomorrow's a good... Friday's a good day to do something like that. So, Scotty, get his info. We'll do it tomorrow. We'll do a wacky high-concept topic tomorrow. Tim wanted to say something, and now he's gone.
Where'd Tim go?
He's vanished. All right. It's 503-733-2970. What do we got to do still? We got to do the top five. We're going to yell at Scotty about something else. No, you know, I'm done with yelling at Scotty for a while. I had something else I was going to do here. It was a Will Wheaton thing.
Will Wheaton?
Yeah.
Is he coming to town?
No. Well, I mean, he might be, but that's not the note. He just had a little article I was going to read. All right. Well, now I'm all thrown off because it's like 2:10. All right, let me see what we got here. What have I been putting?
Could break because we really should break.
Yeah, but this is like the war. We got to take a lead. It's got to be like 5 minutes or so before we can break now. All right, hold on just a second. Don't go anywhere. Just stay right there. You just don't with the whole and the. All right, okay. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970.
You want to find funny clips on YouTube and play them back and forth to each other?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's not do that. Hey, Scotty, do you have this top five printed out? Do you have like a sheet for that? Because that would be fantastic. All right, so why don't you do that? Why don't you come in here and we'll do that? Since it's a great segue. We were just talking. I was, during the thinking music there, I was actually thinking about what should we do next because we've got this awkward amount of time here. So let's do the top five now since it is state fair related and we were just talking about fair stories.
Did Scotty make the top five?
He did. This is these are the top five acts that Scotty has seen performing at a state fair. So... I mean, you know, you don't really even have to print it out. I mean, presumably you'll be the one counting it down. It's not going to be Tim. So you've actually got it over here. So if you just want to come in, we'll do that. Then later on, we have Likas coming up at 3, Likas 101 at 5, Donna Mike at 7, all that. I have this Will Wheaton thing to read that I will try to get to. And I've also got the Glorious Bastard of the Week. So we'll do that. We'll probably do the top five, then we'll break. We'll come back, Tim, Glorious Bastard of the Week and all that. This, however, is your top five for Thursday.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Fire!
Counting is wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy, I love to count, don't you?
Hey, by the way, somebody noted that the video of Beyonce Knowles falling on her face has been pulled off of YouTube. Apparently, if you go there, there's something from Sony that says it's like a copyright violation. So that is no longer there. Sorry to hear that. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We were just talking about the state fairs and so forth. These, ladies and gentlemen, as compiled and created by he himself, are the top five musical acts that Scotty J. has seen performing at a state fair.
Why, thank you, Rick. Number 6, honorable mention, goes to...
Now, hold on. Now, what is the oldest of these? In other words, when is the first experience on this list? Like, when did you start seeing... did you first start seeing musical acts at the state fair?
I probably was taken to the fair with my parents in the 70s. So, I mean, I don't know if we date back that far. We do, actually, with bands on here, but I didn't actually see these bands in the 70s. Most of my stuff was from 83 on... forward.
All right. Are you a big fair goer still?
In fact, I think I'm going to go to the Washington County Fair tonight just to check out the cows and the sheep.
The LOL Fair?
Is that what it's called?
Can I just tell you real quickly before we do this? And I know our intro music is running out here. Actually, there was somebody I was talking to, God, it was like a week or two ago. It was somebody sort of up here and he was upstairs, kind of typing away. Whoever it was on the internet, they were typing, and I made some kind of a joke, or I said something witty or funny or whatever, and the person didn't laugh, they didn't even look up, they just continued to type away, and I said something funny, and the person just kind of went, lol, and then continued, and they kind of reared back a little bit from the computer when they did, lol, and then they just continued typing, and it was the greatest, worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I think I might actually start doing that just to sort of mess with people. I reckon, blah, 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 lol. And then just sort of bug my eyes out a little bit and then keep walking.
We're not allowed to use that in CBS emails, by the way.
That is true. If you read that email if you took that test from CBS, you are forbidden to use lol in CBS communication.
No lolling.
You should totally do it. Just stick it to the man.
No lolling.
All right. These are the top five artists that Scotty has seen perform at a state fair.
The number 6 honorable mention goes to Quarter Flash. Harden My Heart. This is like the only song.
The worst taste in
music. I know by them. This has nothing to do with my taste in music. This has to do with, you know, who do you normally see at a state fair or even a Washington County fair for that matter? Oh, I hit the post.
formerly known as Seafood Mama, Rick.
Why do you always say that?
What?
You always have to bring up the phrase Seafood Mama.
Seafood Mama?
Yeah.
I'm on a seafood diet.
That's like that slick tongue comment you were making earlier.
Yeah.
Stop, don't ever do that again. I swear, if you ever do that again, I will cut off your lips. I'll do it.
Jeez, you had like the whole tiger growl.
It's bad enough when Sarah does it, but yeah, you were doing the whole kind of rawr.
You know why Rick's so angry about it, Scotty, because he can't do it.
He's just violent today.
I can't, no, I can't. Now, is that a rolling your tongue?
Come on, Scotty, see what you got. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so it's like an extended R roll.
It's almost like bumping the top of your mouth with your tongue, right?
But it's like rolling an R.
Sort of.
Basically, yeah. It's the same principle.
I almost did it when I said sort of.
And I can't. You should start rolling all your R's in conversation, Scotty.
I don't know if I can do
make
that.
It, no, R. Make it your trademark.
What's that? I mean, like, how does that sound?
I'm feeling really good today.
Oh, that's my God.
No, seriously,
you're
Scotty.
Strupa good-looking.
No, you're adding R's where they don't belong.
You have to do where the R's naturally are.
I think it helps to know how the word is pronounced.
Like, say my name, Scotty.
Sarah.
Roll an R on this. Retard.
Sarah.
How about that?
Oh, there we go. Sarah. It sounds so French, right?
A failed attempt at a trademark. Really, this ought to be your trademark, Scotty. You ought to roll R's everything. Do it from now on. Roll all of your R's.
Solid State Radio.
That's what I'm saying.
There you go.
Do this. Do Rick Emerson show.
The Rick Emerson Show live.
You missed an R there. There's an R in Emerson. Try it again.
The Rick Emerson Show.
If you can't quite get the R, you just start sprinkling them in randomly throughout the word. That's wonderful.
Keep going, Scotty. Come on, you can do it.
Stupid good looking. Okay, let's move on.
I don't know. That's from
the Flintstones.
No.
We can move on.
I thought you were doing the Billy Crystal thing. No, roll the R's all the way through this top five. All right, these are the top five acts Scotty J has seen today. Stay fair.
The number five song goes to the Little River Band. This song's called Night Owls.
I don't really know anything about the Little River Band.
All I know is you'll see them at a state fair coming to you soon.
Probably, seriously. They do come through town all the time.
Every
sponsored by KGON.
There's
a bar right across
the street. I picked this one because there's a bar right across the street is the first word, sir. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I think bar has an R in it, Scotty. And so does Sarah.
There's a bar right across the street. I can't even do it.
I don't think you're allowed to rearrange
there's
the letters
a
in a word.
Right across the street. Yeah, I don't think I want to play this game because I need practice in front of a mirror.
You need what, Scotty?
In front of a mirror.
You need what?
Practice.
No. What do you need?
I don't know, a good swift kick in the rumpus. I don't know.
If you were high, this would be the funniest thing you'd ever heard. And anybody out there who is high, I know right now this is the funniest thing you've ever witnessed.
I believe in you. Rick doesn't
believe
in you.
Okay, I can do another one. I know I can. Okay. The number four song.
Four?
The number what song?
The number four song. The number four song goes to REO Speedwagon.
I love REO Speedwagon.
But the name of this song is Roll with the Changes.
Wonderful. You know, it's karma for throwing.
Yeah, karma for throwing my pen at you. I've lost my pen now.
I'm glad you did. I don't want it thrown at me.
See, that's hilarious.
And now Scotty's afraid to talk.
I'm afraid I'm going to miss some.
Your what?
See? I'm afraid I'm going to miss some arbors in there somewhere.
Oh, that's wonderful. Ah, fantastic. It's going to be a great day.
We haven't even talked about the fact that these are your total state fair,
Oh, no. REO. Yeah. They're what, Scotty?
Fairer.
I always have to think about it for a moment.
I know, it's too much.
Spelling is hard.
The REO Speedwagon. Ooh, Oreo. Oreo Speedwagon. Now I'm
doing
it.
Bring your cats and dogs.
Now I'm doing Oreo Speedwagon. The Speedwagon will be coming to your neighborhood. Bring out your cats and dogs.
And it's free. Donate to your local shelter.
Oreo Speedwagon. They really are one of the definitive state fair. I mean, they're constantly playing. And I don't knock that. Nobody paying me to play at a state fair. So, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, you gotta do where you can do it, I suppose. These guys really are, they absolutely are definitive because they're constantly in town doing that. This is a great song.
This is one of the great songs to actually see them do. Then when they do the next song, you go get a beer. Beer root.
When they say, we're going to play something off our new album, you can get this at our website. That's always the key, by the way, when they play some song that's only available on their website.
And I forget the name of the lead singer. He used to have...
Kevin McCrona.
Yes, he had huge, you know, Afro-like hair back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Now it's all gone. So they don't even look the same.
No. They used to be kind of a label. What's weird is they were like some weird blues funk band or something. And then they decided that wasn't paying the bills, and so they just decided to become a pop band, which is like the best thing they ever did. So, fantastic.
All right.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hi, Rick. This is Terry.
Hi.
How do you expect Scotty D to roll his R's when he can't even spell?
It does sort of presume that he knows what orders the word, what order the letters go in. You're right about that.
It's hilarious.
Yes.
Best show ever.
Thank you. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Hey. Best show ever.
Thank you.
Signing off.
Appreciate it. Bye now.
All right. Breast show?
Stop it. Here's your...
I don't get it.
Here's Scotty J.
But I like it. Okay. Number three song goes to Styx. Borrowed Time, all right?
By the time we're done with...
practice.
By the time this top five is over, I think we'll be done with that bit, but it's still funny. Styx. Aren't they coming? No, Night Rangers coming. That's right.
That sounds like a good concert, Rick.
Does it, Scotty?
It does.
Are you excited about Night Ranger coming
I
to the
want
to...
Actually...
I'm kind of bummed out you didn't pick Mr. Roboto.
Mr. Roboto's a great song.
Yeah, but this is what you hear at the state fair, right?
Don't you believe
you
that?
You would hear Mr. Roboto at the state fair.
Half the time, Dennis DeYoung never even travels with him anymore.
He doesn't just... what? Say Mr. Roboto.
Domo Origato, Mr. Roboto.
This is pretty impressive, actually. I couldn't do that at all. Mr. Roboto's a great song from the Kilroy's Here album. Kilroy was here. And then this is... I don't really know the song. What song is this? Oh, we're going to do this instead. Fantastic.
Now, by the way, I did see them, and they were horrible without Dennis DeYoung, and Tommy Shaw was trying to sing all the songs.
Well, Dennis DeYoung is sort of the Freddie Mercury of that group, you know.
That's correct.
I would. Mr. Roboto is a great song. I would also say the other definitive Styx song to me anyway is Renegade.
Oh, I love that. Love Why Me. I like Come Sail Away.
Come
all
Sail
the
Away.
Stuff.
Yeah. Come Sail
no,
Away.
Come Sail Away is a great song. Have you seen the? Did you watch Freaks and Geeks when it was on?
Mm-mm. No, I've seen a couple of the episodes. I've seen some of them, but I haven't watched.
There's this heartbreaking episode featuring, and I know that this sounds like one of those things that would be wacky and ironic, but it wasn't. There was this heartbreaking moment set to Come Sail Away by Styx. Where one of the geeks, one of the little freaky, you know, nerdy kids, has been building up his courage all year long to ask the cute girl to dance. And they start playing Come Sail Away. And he finally gets up the nerve to ask her to dance. He's like, you go out to dance with me. And she's like, sure. And she says yes. And you're all excited for him. And then it shifts into the fast part of the song.
Oh.
And she's got to do the fast dance. And he's been practicing his slow dance all week for her. And then suddenly it's like into the fast part of the song. And he just chokes. This is a great song. I've got the secret I've been hiding. The reason this song is great is because it's stupid.
It is totally stupid. Did they ever make a movie out of this? I knew that they...
No.
You saw the video, though, right?
I'm watching it now.
Have you seen the behind the music? That's kind of what led to the breakup, because Dennis DeYoung wanted to do these huge operatic concept records and movies and everything. And they're like, we just want to have singles and meet chicks. And he was way more creative than the rest of the band. They were all hacks. The luckiest day of those guys' lives when they met him.
Yeah, Dennis DeYoung, though, is a pretty talented guitarist and singer.
Well, he's... I mean...
Tommy Shaw. I'm sorry.
But Dennis DeYoung was the visionary. He really... Not like I'm a big Styx fan, but he really was the visionary that drove this band.
Oh, he's kind of good looking.
Who, Dennis DeYoung?
Yeah.
He's,
Yeah, just kind of...
And, you know, he's a good dresser, too.
Oh. Is he perhaps a Chinese waiter?
Yes, he is.
All right.
Scotty J's top five artists he's seen at a state fair.
Moving right along to the number two song.
That's what I'm talking about.
Some Billy Ocean here at AM 970 Solid State Radio. This song is Caribbean Queen. This has way too long of an intro to
it. What happened to Billy Ocean?
Sure.
Where is he?
Billy Ocean? I did see him in concert at a fair, right? I swear it.
When,
look how long this thing is.
How
you'll
long
never
ago
get the post on this.
This is where you're doing like school closings, too. This is like one of those openings. You can do school closings, lunch menus, construction downtown. Talking about the electric lunch all request hour that's coming up.
It's 86 degrees out.
My three songs coming up later this afternoon as well. Also, we'll be playing a little bit of He Said, She Said. And checking out the traffic copter. Plus, don't forget, next, I've run out of radio.
Right here on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
No.
Dang it.
There's still more intro.
I hit the though. I hit the
This song is 7 minutes and 55 seconds
version?
Long.
No. Oh, I hit it.
Jesus. Whatever happened, Billy Ocean was one of those guys who was really big.
Right.
He had number one singles. People don't remember
number
that.
Number one.
He had Get Out of My Dreams, Into My Car.
Life Has No Meaning to Me. What song is that?
And I don't know, but he had When the Going Gets Tough, The Tough Get Going.
Get Out of My Car, did you say that one?
Yeah. But, I mean, he had number one singles, and then he was just, it's like somebody turned off the fame switch. Seriously, don't you get that feeling?
He was probably super, super old, like 40 years old when he started, anyways.
You know, we've talked so long about people, often about how people turn on the fame switch. Like, somebody decided one day that Paris Hilton was going to be famous. I think somebody just decided one day that Billy Ocean was not going to be famous anymore. They were done with him.
He can still use his voice, so it's great.
Well, he might do that. A lot of those guys end up doing, like, jingle work. Where they sing commercial themes, because that actually pays a lot. Pays better than being a record star. What a terrible song this is.
Do you actually know this song, Sarah?
Everybody knows this song.
Some drunk guy always karaoke's it every time I'm there.
That's true.
Is that you, Scotty J?
That would not be me. I cannot karaoke Billy Ocean.
What with his tremendous vocal range and all, this does seem like it was made to be karaoke.
I do have a little story, though. They played this song when I was in Hawaii at 18 years old, and we could get into the bars back then. And there was, like, this Caribbean queen lady there from the Caribbean, and she wanted me to dance, and she had a big afro, too, and it was just amazing. She loved me. Even then, Sarah.
What?
He's talking about a black woman tried to seduce him in Hawaii.
Yeah,
that
when,
was the other part of the story, was it not?
That's correct.
With a big afro.
Rick caught it. That's right. Okay, number one song.
What do you mean, even then?
Just, I don't know, threw that out there. See if she'd catch
first in your long line of black female conquests, or I don't understand.
No, that I'm, you know, too
people
old.
People with afros?
That I'm too old now type of thing, so back then when I was 18.
We don't have any idea what you're talking about,
okay,
so we're going to move
on.
These are the top five acts Scotty J has seen at a state fair.
The number one song goes to kind of a local band here, a band called the Crazy Eights.
Before my time, but I hear a lot about them.
Yes, you'll definitely see them at an event like a state fair or whatnot.
Now, I've heard about these guys for years from people who lived in Portland, because I grew up in Washington, not Portland. So let me now listen to see what I've been missing. Oh, yeah. I remember that other time when these guys were called Oingo Boingo.
That does kind of sound like that. One
you
thing
think?
About this band.
Really?
They have a huge, you know, horn
section. Groundbreaking
section.
Sound, this is.
They sit up there with the, well, they're from the 80s. But they sit up there with their horns and they're twanging on the bass guitar, and it's just a good, you can just see people standing there like this with drinks. Dancing.
If only you could see the little dance that Scotty is doing now.
It's like
spilling
someone,
it on
when
your
they,
neighbor.
Like, but definitely trying to hold the beer above the water.
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
Serious, like you're waiting for the Coast Guard to come back and rescue you. You don't lose the beer, just desperately holding it above the waterline.
And it looks a little bit like this, right, Sarah? Love this song.
You know that no one can see you, right?
Oh, wow.
You're on the radio.
You know, fingers up in the air, other hand with a beer almost over your head, and then you try to take a sip, kind of move your way in on it, and spill all over everybody. I've been there.
Do your children tell their friends that you do something else for a living?
They say that I'm the janitor of CBS.
We should interview one of your children one of these days. Don't you think, Sarah?
I think that'd be a great idea.
That's a fine idea.
They hate the media and the limelight.
And we're done. Okay. Back after this with Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there. Fantastic. The gorge is 20,000 people. That doesn't even seem possible.
Yeah, it's enormous.
I'm terrible at judging crowd sizes.
Oh, I can just picture him trying to awkwardly dance to this.
Totally, and he's been practicing a slow dance, and the girls told
him,
like,
hits
him with a fast dance, and then he does the bad geek shuffle back and forth. It's so sad.
Who doesn't like this song?
Yeah, oh, this is a great song. If you don't like this song, you should be killed. And this is only possible because of Dennis DeYoung. This song is just so big and operatic. This is almost like an honorary Jim Steinman song. It really is. It's got that whole intro with the piano and it's all just big and swashbuckly. It really is like some weird rocked out Pirates of Penzance kind of a thing. All right, ladies and gentlemen, of the Ministry of Truth, the one, the only, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
First thing with botulism. The Oregon Food Bank is asking anyone who has a can of Morton House chili or Castleberry beef stew from their emergency pantry or hunger relief program to bring it back.
Don't you mean beef spew?
Apparently so. Yes, there's an nationwide recall going on because of possible botulism contamination.
I don't know why, but botulism is funny.
It is.
It really is. Is botulism where they get Botox from? It is.
Yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. Well, there you go. So it's like Botox for your stomach. Your stomach will be lineless and wrinkle-free. Wonderful.
Well, let's talk about this OK Magazine news article about Britney Spears. Their editor, Brian Strong, said the magazine's hope is that the story will serve as a wake-up call to Britney.
Let's force everyone to reflect on this for a second. Let's force Britney to reflect on her actions for a sec, and, you know, and bring everything to light. And the hope is that Britney, you know, wants to come back to OK Magazine and do the real thing.
They said Britney was unhappy with the stylist provided.
She wanted her staff, or her people, rather, in place of the professional staff that was there. So she asked everyone to move out of the way, and she had her assistant and her entourage start to do makeup and all that sort of thing before the OK people reestablished the original staff.
Britney did not appear to be apologetic for the damage done to the wardrobe provided.
Everyone was trying their best to, you know, to make Britney feel comfortable and that sort of thing, and, you know, she eventually storms off of the set. So, I mean, you know, she didn't seem to be apologizing for anything.
So there. So pick up a copy, won't you? OK Magazine.
Now, but you said that they're not going to be, Sarah, you said they're not going to be publishing any of the good
photos.
No,
I've already seen the scans of the article.
And well, that sucks.
The scans are exactly everything that we know.
It's all the good stuff.
Just with some more filler.
See, it used to be that they would tease these stories. They would whet the public appetite by releasing one or two salient or tantalizing bits of news, and then they would hold back the rest, knowing you would buy the article to get the rest of the good stuff, of the dirt. But now they're not only are they not publishing any of these photographs, but she's wiping chicken grease all over herself. Was that enough? Right there, I would buy it. That's enough. I would pay like $12.
And she's walking around fondling her boobs. Like how? I mean, she sounds crazy because it's like she's acting like she. I can't even talk. She's acting like she couldn't see anybody else in the room. Like. I'm going to stop talking. I've had too much coffee.
Yeah, no, me too.
Exhausted research is underway at Washington University School of Medicine on how to cure the common itch. This project is being overseen by Zengfeng Qing, a lead researcher on the topic of the common itch.
This is the first step, okay? We found the gene in mice. So the next thing that people can try in clinical is to see whether this compound can inhibit the itch.
Dr. Chen's research on the itch will be published recently.
Did you pick that soundbite just so you could dangle it in front of me as like a test to see if I would make fun of it? Is that why?
No, I'm
would
here.
That set there as some sort of human resources trap?
I'm here
me?
As a public trustee in the public interest.
Can you play that soundbite once more?
Sure.
Thank you.
This is the first step, okay? We found the gene in mice. So the next thing that people can try in clinical is to see whether this compound can inhibit the itch scratching in humans.
There is something funny about saying it as each, though. That really is kind of funny. Yes, Scotty, I'm aware that I know where he's from, Scotty. Thank you so much. Fine. He's one guess as to where Scotty identifies that man as being from.
He's not necessarily from the Orient. He could be from Pittsburgh. No, he's from St. Louis, Scotty.
Well, but it's St. Louis, Missouri, so...
Yes.
But if you were in Florida...
He sounds Midwestern.
Even now, if you were in Florida, Missouri would still be the Orient. Because it would be Eastern.
That would be Western.
Oh, no.
Missouri
would
is
be
west
Eastern.
Of Florida.
Oh, that's right. So, okay, so wait, no. So here in Portland, if he's in St. Louis, Missouri...
Yes.
People who are in St. Louis, Missouri, really linguistically speaking, they are in the Orient to us in Portland.
I suppose so. He does sound Midwestern.
Just as if you, let's say, lived in if you lived in Montana, let's say.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid. But then if you lived in Montana, those in Washington would be Occidentals. Linguistically speaking.
Yes.
In case you're wondering, Scotty spells Taiwan as Tiwoon. All right, let's do one more here.
Well, they seem to have a problem in Oakland with big flocks of Canadian geese. Yes, they're beautiful to look at, but they've been stopping in the city's park and defecating, ruining the view for everyone.
We've been trying to figure out how to balance the fact that we have a bird sanctuary and the fact that we have a very, very popular central park.
She tries to be delicate when describing the situation.
The nice term is goose management, but the real issue is goose poop. I mean, that's what really most people object to.
Goose management. Hey, here's a question. Whatever happened to Carl the Goose Man? Do you remember that guy?
He was one of my favorite callers.
Sarah, do you remember Carl the Goose Man?
Yeah,
I do.
Whatever happened to him?
I don't know.
You know, when we
maybe
were doing,
he's actually Carl Click.
We were getting ready to. He's Carl the Noose Man.
Oh.
When you were.
Oh no.
Come
that
on.
Was Scotty J. Caliber.
I didn't expect something like that so late in the show, and they kind of threw me off.
What are you saying? Are you saying that my wit dulls as the program
no,
goes
no,
on?
No, I'm not saying a thing.
That sounds very much like the implication. It sounds like someone is saying that my wit is not rapier sharp at the end of the program. No, but you know, he when I was going through all my stuff in the basement as we were getting ready to do the last listener party where we did the whole museum of the show. I was actually confronted by a whole bunch of photographs, 8x10s that he'd sent me of his geese, which I found in the basement. I'd forgotten all about him. So, fantastic. All right, 503, I'll go ahead and play us into breakers. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. We thank you for coming by. We got Lycus, who's going to be coming up at 3 today. Lycus 101, which will be happening at 5 o'clock, rather. And coming up at 7 o'clock, we have Don and Mike. Real briefly, I don't know, we won't have time to play the whole thing here, but I'm an ass, and so I forgot to do this. Our good friend Mailman Chris, he of the Sun, who I think is constantly shooting people and setting things on fire. The great thing about it is the kid wasn't even a teenager. I mean, I think the kid's been kicked out of school like 50 times already. And is, you know, just hurriedly, you know, hurriedly carving things into his own forearms left and right. But wasn't actually even a teenager. Just now is a teenager. And so Chris asks that as his son plunges into his adolescence proper, that we play a little bit of this for him. So this is My Chemical Romance to Mailman Chris as he endures the worst 6 years of his life. And good luck to you, sir. Back after this.
They're gonna clean up your looks with all the lies in the books to make a citizen out of you. Because they sleep with a gun and keep an eye on you, son, so they can watch all the things you do. Because the drugs never work, they're gonna give you a smirk.
We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day. Final segment of the Rick Emerson Show coming up tomorrow. Aaron Deacon, the City Duran, will be here, and it's High Concept Friday tomorrow, so you don't want to miss that. Coming up, I don't know, a couple minutes, we have Tom Lycus, Lycus 101 today at 5 o'clock, and then Donna Mike at 7. Rick, please, 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 I beg you, for the love of sweet God, get Tom Bosley on the show. I'm sure there are many listeners out there with a plethora of questions to him regarding Father Dowling Mysteries and his stint as David the Gnome.
That was him, Father Dowling?
Yeah.
Oh, I loved Father Dowling.
You know, chicks love Father Dowling, and a lot of chicks love Matlock.
I watched Matlock, too, and Will Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah. He might be so old and senile that Scotty will be able to convince him to come on the show. Of course, you run the risk of Tom Bosley thinking he's talking to a telemarketer, because I'm sure Scotty sounds like he's selling water purifiers or some such, like doggy stares, when he's on the phone.
Aren't you, in fact, getting doggy stares, Rick?
I am, indeed. It's very sad, but yes. let's see. What else do we have here? Oregon State Fair's motto is not quite as atrocious as LOL, but it's... Let's see. What is? Oh, the State Fair is... It's like a magical enchanted land, except it's real.
That's the slogan?
I'm not passing any judgment. That apparently is the... Heart's going to be there. John Cain, Steppenwolf, the Radio Disney Kids, and the All-American Rejects. Really? They're like the thing that doesn't belong. That totally, you know what it is? That goes hand in hand with their MySpace marketing and trying to get the kids. All-American Rejects. That totally makes sense, actually. And a barbecue competition, of course. All right. Rick Emerson show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon. Pranking 970 Solid State Radio in the newsroom. It's Tim Riley. Our PA is Scotty J. And, of course, the gatekeepers, Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Amanda Moyer and Lisa Goddard. See y'all tomorrow. Don't let the mattress grind you down. And
you drove.